Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines, record a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rise to our quite something able. We're off from mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
I felt the way to change.
I got this phrase that I say every now and then, that life is like wrestling a cactus. So I need to see if I can get somebody, one of these creative individuals out there, to make me one of them pictures that has like a really big giant, one of those cactuses like you see in the cartoons. It's all big up there. And if you could visualize running barefoot across the hot blazing desert sand up to this big old giant cactus, and you wrestle that thing to the ground, and then when you get up, all you get all these thorns and thistles sticking out you after you overcome that cactus and wrestle it to the ground, and you're standing there and you're shouting, "Yo, Adrian, I did it! I did it! It hurt like you know what, but I did it!" All right, that's basically the kind of concept that I'm talking about. See, I went to the hospital last night, and I kind of was up there pretty late because of, just general things that goes on at emergency rooms. It's a kind of full up there these days. So I guess other people out there wrestling cactuses as well. Well, I was trying to fix a doggone cabinet for my daughter, and as I was drilling a screw into the wood, somehow or another, the tip of the screwdriver bit slipped off of the screw, and the drill went full force right down into my hand. So from that point on, it was like I was trying to make a dash to the bathroom so that I could wash it off the blood and get some compression on it, and man, I was in god awful pain. I mean, it was bad. And then from that point, I could feel myself getting ready to go down. So I tried to make my way to the living room so I could lay down on the floor and try to ride this out until, I could get in the car and go to the hospital and have this thing looked at. But on my way to the living room floor, I kind of like started getting really dizzy, and I started walking sideways at a pretty steady pace, and then I kind of wiped out, I blacked out, and I hit the floor, and lucky for me, I didn't bash my face on the way down, but yeah, it was a mess. But I've had episodes out throughout my entire life. I could probably tell you story after story about crazy things that's happened to me, and I'm pretty sure that each and every one of you's probably done a few yourself. So I had a bad day. Alright, well, what am I going to do about that bad day? I was going to stay in bed this morning and not do a Knights of the Round Table show, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that would have been understanding that I felt terrible. I'm like, right now I got some pain pills in me, and I'm trying to keep my hand with my big giant bandage wrapped up. I'm trying to keep it above my heart so it ain't throbbing like a trombone or something like that. Anyway, so I got to thinking, I said, you know what, I ain't letting this get me down. That's why I played those two songs there at the beginning, Nobody's Gonna Break My Stride, and I can't remember the one name of the song about the Proclaimers there, because they're kind of uplifting songs. So anyway, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there in worst case scenarios that are worse off than I am, so kind of try to make the best out of a bad situation. So this is all pretty much ad-lib today, because I didn't do any kind of research for today's show. I'm just kind of feeding off of research from life experience from way back when. Like, for example, one day I was walking up the hill as a child, and my uncle, who was also about a year older than me, he hollers my name out, and I go to look up just in time for see a walnut come flying towards me, and it like hit me right square in the eye socket. Alright, that's probably the biggest black eye that I ever had. I saw all the cartoon things. I saw the stars, the birdies, I went down. And so, he didn't mean to hit me with it. He was just trying to spook me and throw it at me, but it's what you would call a bullseye, all right? And then I got a big old giant shiner out of that deal. And that's just one of many episodes, later on in life, I give myself a black eye. I like playing with this big old giant super ball, and I was going to see how far I could bounce it way up in the air. So I take this super ball. Now keep in mind, this is like one of those old style super balls. It's a big old black piece of rubber, It's larger than a golf ball, but maybe slightly smaller than a baseball. And so I took every bit of my might and I slammed that thing down on the curb and it came right back up and blacked my eye. Well, I tell you what, I've had more black eyes in my life than I can care to count. But you know what? I'm still here. That's the plus. I just got to thinking about all these different episodes in life, whether you're stubbing your toe on the coffee table or falling up the stairs. Most people fall down the stairs. Old crazy hair Shaziz, he likes to fall up them. It makes it more exciting, so to speak. So anyway, there's been, like I said, many episodes of all that. And maybe somehow or another I can pull a rabbit out of my hat and make a show out of the day. But I hope to not bring you down. I hope to bring you up and let you learn this one thing about learning to laugh in the face of adversity, you know. Otherwise, life will get you down. I mean, I sit around and listen to negativity after negativity. And that's like, it just drains you like a sponge. I mean, it just takes all the energy out of you. Now I'm sitting here looking all ridiculous. I look like a grasshopper sitting up here because I got my feet up in the seat and I got my hand up in the air and I'm sitting here with my Band-Aid on and I'm looking all kind of ridiculous. I could have just stayed in bed, but I think I chose to do something different today. Go against the grain. Refuse to conform. Take the road less traveled instead of the well-beaten path. Laugh in the face of adversity and leap before you look. Dance as though everybody's looking or watching. That's what the, if you Google it up, that's what the laughing in the face of adversity phrase is all about. So, how you doing there, Barbara? You still on with me there?
I'm here. Hey, everybody. I'm here. I'm over here and along with you on Turtle Island and listening to your story. Holy moly. It's crazy.
Yeah, that hurt. Well, I'll tell you what. But, looking back in retrospect, I probably could have done things differently.
Well, it's interesting how that retrospect is a very significant word. If you want to look back in retrospect, you might find a lesson or something you missed or a little signal that you missed. Or I find that more on anything else rather than just accepting something and saying, let's just get on with life, you know.
Yeah, I get that.
You know what I'm saying? But then you have to find what did I miss, you know? I think it's an opportunity even when we put a drill in our hands. So I'm glad it wasn't your head.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I probably wouldn't be sitting here laughing about that one today. I'd probably still be in bed going, ow. Ow.
But I think we have to, I think it's important to laugh. Find things to laugh about, and I think that one of the most important parts is to laugh at ourselves, you know.
Yeah,
laugh at our folly, we call it, right? The folly of life.
Yeah, they say laughter is good medicine. So it's supposed to get the endorphins going or something like that. I think that's the right terminology.
Well, again, you could call things terrible, or you could say it's a bad day, or you could call it the worst thing, or you could call it whatever you want, or you could laugh at it and say, okay, now, did I miss something here? Did I miss a clue, a key, a signal? Where was I in my head that I just took that drill and drilled my hand? Where was I in that moment?
Well, I think there's as long as you learn something from your adversity, that's a plus, you know. I mean, it stinks that a lot of people got to get hurt in order to figure something out, because this is like the third time on the same hand that I've, had an equipment problem. Where one time I got a drill, last night I got a drill into my hand, and then one time I had a drill that I was drilling a piece of metal, and it bound up on the drill bit and then wrapped around my thumb. The other time was working on my daughter's car, the pry bar slipped and went up into a sharp piece of metal, and so I'm not. This is my guitar hand. I can't afford to be losing this one here. I won't be able to play the guitar anymore.
Is that your left hand?
Yeah.
Well, you ought to Google left-handed. What does the left hand represent? Because it's funny. It's kind of funny how our bodies, you know, like they say, put your left foot forward, right?
Yeah.
Well, then there's that song, you know, and Shake It All About, put your right... But I'm saying...
Oh, the Hokey Pokey, I remember that.
The Hokey Pokey. Right. But I'm saying that so there's some things about the body, because the left side is the heart side, we say, right? Left side is the heart side. It's the receiving side. The right side is the giving out or letting go side, you know. The right foot is usually what we start off with, you know, most of us, I suppose, start off walking with our right. We don't pay attention to these things, but you could say, well, you know, the right foot is represents moving forward, or the ability to move forward in your life, right?
Yeah.
So if you have certain bodily issues, like slamming your right toe all the time, right?
Well, most generally around my house, it's like, you know, you ever get like really good used to where everything is in the house and you can kind of work your way through the dark and everything's fine? Well, my wife is always trying to figure out her feng shui, you know, that funky shui thing.
Yeah.
Well, she's always moving something. And so she'll move the coffee table, even if it's over, you know, a couple inches. That makes a big difference when you already got your map in your head. And in the middle of the night, you go through there and slam your toe on the coffee table. See?
Well,
so I got to teach her about that funky shui stuff.
Well, I think the funky shui is it's an interesting thing to me, because I think it's about harmony and balance in your environment. You know, for instance, like they talk about, you know, a house, a home. Well, there's a house and then there's a home. Two different things, and again, energetically. To me, your home is your sanctuary, you know, and how does it look? You know, how do you take care of your home? And you could say your body is the same thing. Your body is a temple or sanctuary or sacred, and how do you treat it? So the funky shui thing is based on energy and the environment, the energy that, for instance, let's say you have a stove. Cooking on your stove, so cooking is giving, you know, it's something that you give out, you know, and supposedly if you're cooking with anger, well, you're giving out that anger, you know, so if you have your stove is all messed up and dirty and funky and, you know, crap all over it, and your burners are blocked with pans and pots and, well, that what a mess, but I'm saying, so how is that flow of the abundance of food, the sacredness of food, or releasing, you know, receiving and releasing something good for the heart, good for the soul, you know, stuff like that. So here's something for you. The right hand is mentioned positively 100 times in the Bible. The left hand is mentioned only 25 times, all negatively, while it also presented the right hand as a symbol of strength and honor, and the left hand are riches and honor. However, God's left hand is the hand of judgment. So, yeah, you could say, well, let me go in that direction, you know. I mean, there's signals and signs and all kinds of things, you know. I mean, there's signs everywhere, we could say. You know, what does the left hand symbolize? You know?
Yeah.
And in Asian culture, for instance, the left hand is symbolic of yin energy and the right hand energy. Hands folded together or clasped in Asian illustrations is iconic of allegiance and friendship. Hidden hands, depicted in art, indicates humility and offering respect where it is due. So, you know, you have all this kind of stuff going on. You could take it seriously or think it's a bunch of woo-woo stuff and just go on your way.
No, believe me, I don't think any of that's woo-woo stuff. I got to address a comment in the chat room because apparently May and I got something in common. She said, oh my God, Shaziz, well, I do fall up the stairs also. Laugh out loud.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so, you know, her and I, those falling up the stairs kind of spirit. That's pretty good. You know, I guess it's kind of better than falling down the stairs. Let me tell you a quick funny story before you go on. Long time ago, I was messing around. My wife was, like, kind of ignoring me or something, you know. So I go over there. She got her purse sitting on the couch. And so I grab her purse and tuck it up under my arm like a football, and I start running up the stairs. Well, I fell right square up the stairs and broke my big toe. So I come wobbling back down. I handed her back her purse, and I said, it just ain't worth it.
Right.
I was trying to get her to chase me, but she just kind of sat there and watched the whole scenario play out. She said, serves you right. Oh, man. I can think of a lot of stories like that. I've had a really interesting life. But
well, yeah, I mean, as you're laughing, I think it's good to laugh. I think looking back at things, I suppose, you know, you kind of like look back and shake your head and say, wow, you know, that I see this more clearly now. I didn't see it then. I fell off that cliff, and then the cliff, I kept falling off cliffs. You know, there's the, what we call the coyote medicine, you know. It's like coyote is the trickster. So coyote basically watches the folly of humans and laughs a lot, has a big jolly laugh over our idiocy and our folly and why we keep falling off the same cliff, or why we keep slamming into the same brick wall, or why we keep falling into the same pothole. And there's a reason. The question is why? Because we're not getting something, because there's something that we're completely ignoring that will help us to stop falling off the cliff. You know?
Well, I get that. And then if you actually kind of look back into history, because, you know, there's that phrase out there, you know, history's bound to repeat itself if you don't learn something from it. So, you know, it seems like it's not just any single individual. Just about everybody and his brothers probably got, and his sister as well, has probably got tons and tons of stories like the one I'm talking about. You know, last night was just an unfortunate event. It wasn't so funny yesterday, I can tell you that, because I was in terrible, terrible pain. Nothing that I passed out.
Yeah.
But if,
well, I've been there with various things, you know, certainly. I think we've all experienced that. It's pain beyond comprehension. It's just like, just waiting for it to go away or to settle down a bit. But again, I've discovered in my life that things happen to us. I guess I call it like you get three warnings, you know, three strikes and you're out. Three warnings meaning some kind of signal, some message, some sign that you're not paying attention to. You'll get that three times and then wham, you get hit by the 2x4, yeah. You know. It's like, to me, it's like a big 2x4, it's really your hand, that's a big 2x4. And so I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, I don't suggest anybody try it, so learn from my mistake and I'll learn from your mistakes, and if it looked like it hurt, we probably won't do it again. What do you think?
Well, I think that's the whole point, is that is to not do it again. And we have to learn from our mistakes, right?
Yeah.
And the littlest thing, it's the same thing with sickness or disease. You know, people, and working with people who have been diagnosed with something, and even my own experience, personal experience, is that, well, I got certain signs and signals that I ignored, you know. And then the body will finally tell us, you know. We'll get it in our mind, and then the body will finally tell us, you know, by that you're not paying attention and you're not listening, you know, on many levels. So I just want to read this. There's a lot of information here, teachings here about, in ancient times, men fought with their right arms and defended the vital centers with their left arms, in which was carried the protecting shield. The right half of the body was regarded, therefore, as offensive, and the left hand defensive. For this reason, also, the right side of the body was considered masculine, and the left side feminine. And we do talk about that, too. You know, I mean, you can believe this or not, but this is ancient teachings here. And several authorities are of the opinion that the present prevalent right-handedness of the race is the outgrowth of the custom of holding the left hand in restraint for defensive purposes. Furthermore, as the source of being, with a capital B, is in the primal darkness, which preceded light, so the spiritual nature of man is in the dark part of his being, for the heart is on the left side. Fascinating, right?
Yeah, I'm just listening in.
I've got to pop that into your chat, but this is fascinating stuff to me, because again, it leads back to our awareness, our awakeness, our connectedness, and also our understanding of who we really are, and also our about the frequencies, frequency and energy, you know. So we're talking a left, when we do ceremony, for instance, there is a ceremony, a receiving and releasing ceremony, and they have to do with the left hand and the right hand. So when you want to, for instance, let's say you want to clear out some stuff, release some stuff that isn't serving you, doesn't serve any purpose, it's more harmful. So what we use sacred tobacco, so what we do is we stand before a fire, which is a sacred fire, and we go into our mind, our heart, and so on, and we figure out, okay, we just describe what it is that I want to release, let go of. You with me?
Yeah, I'm having an issue over. Go ahead.
So you take that tobacco and you fill it with those thoughts and the energy of what it is that you want to release, let go of. And you put it all in the tobacco that's in your hand, and then you put that in the fire. Now you want to bring in, you want to fill yourself with new information, positivity or health or well-being or whatever. And now you put that sacred tobacco in your left hand and you put all the things of the positive into that tobacco, right?
Yeah.
And so that's the receiving aspect, the sacred feminine aspect, and what was just described, you know, the masculine and the feminine are two sides of ourself, and it's the heart side. So you receive from, you know, creator or source, whatever you want to call it, the positive things, the good things, you know, you put that energy or thought energy into the tobacco, and then you put that in the fire. But you have to release first in order to fill in those spaces then with something positive. You with me?
Yeah, I'm listening.
So, I mean, again, it's all back to energy and frequency. So, you know, I always tell people who are dealing with issues, whether they're emotional or physical, if there was something that they, if they could think back, if there may have been a message or a feeling or a sign or a signal or even a thought that may have alerted them to something that they weren't paying attention to.
Well, that's probably what happened yesterday, because I probably got a warning sign. I probably knew it was a bad idea. I was trying to hold a piece of wood while I was trying to put the screw in, and I should have known better, but I didn't pay attention.
Well, there's those words people use a lot. I should have known better. Where does that come from? It's sort of like, yeah, because you did get the message, but you ignored it because you're stubborn or whatever, or just, I don't know, unwilling to listen to the message, or just you're preoccupied and you just want to do something and forget about everything else and get it done, and that puts you, you know, people rush through things and they're impatient, or they're just downright, you know, unwilling to listen to the guidance. I kind of feel there's the guidance is ever present, sort of like those little warning signs, you know.
Yeah. In the process of looking up a cactus for my meme there, I did come across another cactus. Somebody said, "Don't hug a cactus." So, hey, cactuses are people too, right? Somebody go up there and hug a cactus.
Well, yeah. But they say be careful, you know, who you expose yourself to. I guess I'd say.
Yeah, that's probably not a wise idea. Anyway, they had me on an IV because my blood pressure was low, and so I had this I had a needle in one arm with a water thing in water bag above me, and my hand all bandaged up. So last night was not a very good night. So If I'm kind of off my game today, that's probably why, because I didn't really get a whole lot of sleep, and so, but I'm here. So we're going to make the best out of a bad situation and see if we can pull off a show today. What do you think?
Well, I'm glad you're here. Yeah, it was getting later and later, and I was thinking, oh, well, what's going on? You know, because usually you're on a little bit earlier, and, yeah, I was thinking on that. And
yeah, I was moving.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
I was moving mighty slow this morning. But either way, you know, there's a lot of different things going on out there in the world. And, you know, I think that a lot of times when we talk about all those bad things that's going on in the world, sometimes we kind of maybe talk about them too much. So I need to try to find like an uplifting portion of life to try to talk about. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Well, I think there's always that. You have to, you know, it's, again, it's the choice or the, you know, your choices of people. Where do they want to go? Where do they want to spend their time and their energies, right?
Well, I think there's a whole lot of power in positivity because, I know that for personal experience. I told a story one time about how I was, like, really super depressed. And so I went down to my family's house because I needed to, my family, you know, I'd be around them and everything, and hopefully that would cheer me up. So I go down to my family's house. I'm all bummed out, thinking the whole world is all terrible and everything. And so I go down there, and I sit down at the end of the table, and they ask me if I wanted some coffee. And so I said, sure. So I get up. I got me a cup of coffee, and I'm sitting down, and I start listening to everybody. And one of them starts talking about how this particular person's dying of cancer, and this person over here is dying of this, and the other one's dying of that. And it seemed like as the deal went around the table, everyone had to top the story that was prior to the one that they just told. And so keep in mind, I'm already depressed. So I'm listening to all these stories. You know, I got a big heart, and I'm listening to all these stories about all the misery in the world and everything. And, finally, a couple of my cousin and his wife come in, and they're yelling at the top of their lungs and cursing and raising a ruckus about something. I don't even know what it was that they were fighting about or angry about or whatever. And so finally, I stood up and I said, you know what? I'm getting the bleep up out of here. I said, they all shut up real quick, and everybody's eyes got all wide because old crazy Shaziz, he don't really get all riled up that often. So, and they're like, what? What's going on? And I said, well, I came down here because I was depressed and I needed some time with my family to try to cheer myself up, you know, have the love of my family and hang out with y'all and just do the family thing. But after listening to all y'all's story, I said, I ain't got it so bad. So I'm going home. Life ain't so bad for me there. It actually kind of cheered me up on the way home. I kind of looked back at what I said, you know, minus the bleep word, but I laughed. I said, you know what, I thought my life was so bad until I got down there and heard all that mess, and then I knew, you know, my life wasn't near as bad as I thought it was after listening to everybody else.
Well, isn't that so? I mean, people say that all the time, you know, if you think you really have it bad, you should listen to other people's stories, you know.
Yep.
Again, I think it's about your attitude. It's about what you focus on, about how you, you know, what you think about things in our life. If you think your life is, you know, and I'm not saying that some people's lives aren't really rough and you could say really miserable. I'm not saying that, but I have read many stories over my lifetime about people's worst conditions, situations, circumstances in their lives, and they had an attitude that would, I don't know if I could even do it, because it was like, you know, a grateful attitude, a glorious attitude, or whatever, opposite of what you would say would happen when you're in those circumstances, and that's what got them through.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. Some people are able to find that inner strength, but some people, they just like to feed into the darkness or the negativity, and it's just, you feel real bad for them. I think the best that we can do is kind of like be there for each other. You know, through this whole episode yesterday, you know, even though I was like in excruciating pain because I had studied a lot of first aid in my life, and so I knew what the signs and symptoms of, you know, shock were, and I knew that I was going into shock. And at one time, before it really got too bad, I was almost to the point to tell my wife that she's going to have to call an ambulance because I didn't think I'd even be able to make it to the car.
Well, I'm surprised you drove yourself.
No, my wife drove me. I still kind of in my pajamas, so to speak, my house clothes or whatever, and I told her, I said, look, I'm not even going to take the time to get dressed.
Well, that's right,
I said, just grab a blanket and a pillow, and I'll lay down in the back seat, and we'll get down there, and so that's what we did, but, man, I had to try to stay focused through this whole deal to try to keep her from panicking, because obviously she's all panicked because she just,
right,
you know, saw this deal going on, and, so somehow or another.
Well, yeah, you're trying to help her when you need the help.
So she took real good care of me and basically, you know, helped me through the whole process, stayed by my side through it. So, that, you know, that's why I can't say enough about my wife. She's a wonderful lady. She is a good soul, and I love her to pieces, and I've said, I'm just so doggone blessed to have her in my life.
Well, at least she didn't curse you out for doing something so foolish, right?
Yeah, that would have been pretty bad, you know, if somebody does something stupid.
that's what we don't need. When we do something that's so painful and we get it, and then the person there with us says, what's wrong with you, you idiot, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
it's like, you don't need that in that moment.
Yeah, I already know it was a dumb idea. I'm reaping the benefits of it right now, see?
Well, here's a little bit more. This is interesting. Do you know what Matthew 6:34, the quote about that is? The question in Matthew.
Go ahead.
This you'll remember this. I think I've heard this. I didn't know that this is where it came from, but it's like, what does it mean that we should not let our left hand know what our right hand is doing?
Well, that's kind of like if you're going to do something, kind for somebody, that you don't do it for your own personal, glory or anything like that. So, you know, you give somebody, basically a gift under the table. That's why I kind of like always started to say that, you know, if I give my shirt off my back to somebody else, and then I go ask somebody else, look, hey, I just gave such and such a shirt off my back, and, you know, I get a shirt back from them, you know, I essentially didn't give nothing, because I pretty much, you know, looked at it as, you know, I did something good, so I deserve a reward kind of thing.
Well, you're right. It's about that when we perform something charitable, you give. It's basically to keep it confidential. In other words, the term, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So some of these teachings are very interesting and certainly make sense to me, because we know that, okay, so if you're like boasting and, you know, claiming all this, being ostentatious and, you know, all this jumping around and standing up and, oh, I did this and I did that and I gave this and I give that and da 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 da. Well, this basically is saying, you know, you should perform your charitable giving with confidentiality so that your right hand won't even know what the left hand is giving. In other words, you should maintain an extremely low profile when giving gifts and performing acts of mercy.
Yeah.
Modesty, not ostentation, is the hallmark of the follower of, you know, the sacred way, or you want to say the Christ or Yeshua. But it's sort of like in the way that we say in my spiritual way, it's be humble.
Yeah.
You know, be humble. It's a humble person who is the closest to spirit, you know?
Yeah, I get that. I don't know, man. I just wish that this world would at least hear out the good side of things. You know, I understand there's people out there that don't really have any kind of belief system as far as spirituality goes. That they don't want to believe that there's a creator or a higher power. But there's so many good things in some of the, I would pretty much say all the golden rules, so to speak, about treating people and all that kind of stuff the way you want to be treated. It just,
Yeah, I mean, it's about the motive for your, what's the motive for your giving, you know? Is it, is your generosity coming from your heart and your love and so on, or is it coming from, well, I want to be important, you know? That's a big difference, you know? I'm just saying, but, you know, I have this way that sort of came to me in part of my, I guess you'd say, the gifts given to me, and I had an, if I get, I try to explain it in this way, and again, it's about energy, it's about frequency, and it's about how we focus on things or not, or what we're thinking in the moment when we, let's say, slam our toe or fall down the stairs or up the stairs or, you know, whatever, and it's sort of like to go into a space, an internal space, where you would detach or disconnect yourself from the pain and focus on your breath and focus on, you know, bringing the calmness and a light or color, specific color, into the area in a positive way. And because in the moment of a shock or a trauma to the body, everything seizes up, you know. It makes it worse. Everything goes into tension, extreme tension, and the body seizes up. And your whole focus is, oh, the pain, right? So you don't want to go there. So you want to go into a different frequency or a different energy. Which, you know, again, I have to keep talking about, because we are beings of energy and frequency. And, of course, the mind, when it focuses on one thing, creates a certain frequency. So you fall down or you slam yourself or whatever, and your mind immediately goes into that alarm, this is terrible, this is painful, and your whole body seizes up, which causes more trauma to the body. So the idea is to calm yourself and use the breath and focus, use your focusing ability into bringing in a relaxation or calmness or peace or healing.
It's funny you said that, because there was one particular incident, because I noticed it every time I like be using a hammer, and I always like bash my thumb I don't know how many times while trying to nail some nails, and you know, I'm over there, you'd have those little squiggly marks if it was a cartoon above my head where I'm bleep bleep and bleep and bleep and all this. So one day I was walking through the house, and I caught myself, because I stubbed my toe on the coffee table. It's that coffee table that usually gets me all the doggone time, because I'm kind of tall, so it doesn't just get my toe, it also gets my shins all in the same shot.
And yeah.
Instead of me throwing out a bunch of bleep words, I was all like, thank you, Jesus. I started laughing so hard that, yeah, you know, I forgot all about the pain. Everybody's standing around looking
there
at me.
There you go.
Like,
oh, I just fell off a cliff. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, I have to go to the ocean at least once a year, because the ocean, I live here in the mountains, you know, and we have creeks and rivers and streams and ponds, but we don't have the ocean, and the ocean is the healer, the mother healer, part of her healing mechanism, energy-wise, and I go and I do the water ceremony, too, for the healing of the waters. But so I was there this summer, and all things were beautiful, you know. I was there with a friend, and we were hanging out all day and enjoying the sun and the sounds of the waves and in the water. The water is such a healer. Got in that water and felt this immediate nurturance, you know, and beauty. And the way the sun was sparkling on the waters, it was like just beautiful. And so we're getting ready to pack up. Toward the end of the day, the wind started to kick up, and things were blowing around, and people's umbrellas were flying across the beach, and people were getting whacked with stuff. And so I stood up, and my hat, I had a straw hat on, flew off my head and started rolling down the beach, and I took off after it. Now I'm 75 years old. I should not be doing this, you know. But it's just like some young thing in person inside of me. I can do this. So of course I took a fall. I crashed down onto my knee, and I turned myself sit down, and I immediately wanted to go into my healing way and shift the energy so I'm not screaming and I'm not adding to the pain with tension and everything, and, you know, and I hear this voice behind me, oh my God, are you all right? Are you all right? Oh my God, are you all right? And, I'm trying to focus, you know, I'm trying to be quiet. And this person runs up to me and she's all crazy about, well, oh, are you okay? And oh, let me look at your knees. And she pulls up my dress up to looking at my knees. And I'm saying, I'm okay. I just need to sit here for a minute. Oh, no, no. We have to call the lifeguard. Oh, and I said, no, don't call the lifeguard. And she takes off running for the lifeguard. Huh. And people start gathering around. Now, I just need to focus. I need to do my work. Okay. To not make this a serious thing. I know I'll have a whatever, but it won't be on a level, which would really be bad. And, of course, she runs back with the lifeguard, and he's you know, getting out the ice packs, and everybody's standing around. I said, I'm okay. I just need to be quiet. No, nobody got that part. And she's hysterical, and, oh, should we get an ambulance? Should we take you to the hospital? I said, no, I just need to sit here and be quiet. And so... So then they wanted to take me off, so I had the two, and one guy who was sitting in the next little area come up, and he and the lifeguard, they wrapped my knee in these instant ice packs. I don't even know how they work. They smack them, and they become an ice pack.
Yeah.
Taped my knee up, put the ice pack on it, picked me up, were carrying me off the beach to the car. I was like so not happy. I just needed to be quiet. Yeah, I just needed to do my own work.
You always gotta love people, because every time something like that happens and you gotta focus your way through the pain, somebody always wants to talk to you and ask you a ton of questions. Yeah, just let me sit here for a second.
I mean, it was very sweet of the people. You know, of course, they were concerned. You know, they see this wacky, old lady running down the beach and crashing onto the beach.
Yeah, as you was telling your story, I had a visual of you chasing your hat down
the... Oh, yeah, it was not pretty.
Oh,
anyway,
man.
It was like that kind of thing, you know. So I understand the people want to help, which was very sweet. It probably would have been, would have been better for me if they just left me alone, you know. But also, then you say, well, what's wrong with these people? They're all sitting around, and here's this old lady crashing down on the beach, and, you know, nobody's paying attention to her. They're just sitting, oh, yeah, let me go back to my book, or, you know, okay, there's just some old lady who just took a fall. I mean, it's just like, it was funny, but I'm just trying to say that we do have the ability and the way to do things, you know, to help ourselves. And it's interesting how the body reacts, and so you got to step out of that normal reaction, I guess you'd say, where we seize up and the tension gets intense and we're just in our mind saying the pain is so terrible. When then the pain becomes more terrible because you're telling your body, yeah, the pain is really terrible.
Yeah, that's another thing. I started focusing through this all doggone pain last night, and, you know, it's because it's kind of like holding my breath, trying to fight it off and all that kind of stuff. But your mind is really powerful.
Also,
the more you think about how bad it hurts, the more it does really hurt. And so I try to focus myself away from that kind of stuff. You know, that's when I started.
Well, I did. The mind is an amazing thing, and you can program your mind. I read this story, very interesting story, about this person. She had some sort of a premonition, I guess, of an accident, in a car accident, whatever, and she got really concerned, and she started to program herself that if ever an accident happened, that her body would automatically go into a protective position, okay?
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah, I'm listening.
The body would know immediately how to position itself for her best protective, okay? And so sure enough, I don't know, a couple months later, she was in a car, and the car was started to swerve, I guess, or something occurred. I don't remember the exact circumstance, but what happened was she went into sort of like a a position, like she bent down and covered her head and put herself in a position where she basically saved herself from some sort of a part of the car that would have slammed right into her body or her head. She put her, so her body just automatically went into a self-preservation position because she had programmed it to that, right? I mean, she basically said, my body will do this. My body will know how to protect me and what to do. And that's what happened.
I had an accident sort of like that years ago. I was driving a little Dodge Omni going down Manchester Traffic Way. And for whatever reason, some individual thought it'd be a good idea with a tractor trailer to make a right-hand turn from the left-hand lane. And apparently he didn't see me at all. And so I knew right out of the gate that I was in really big trouble if I hit this thing head on. So basically what I did was I grabbed a hold of the steering wheel and I ripped it hard to the right and laid down in the seat, and the edge of the trailer came through that post on the side by your front window and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
And had I been sitting up and panicked when that done, I probably wouldn't even have a head right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Your body has a self-preservation mode, and it'll kick in if you pay attention to it.
Yeah, I mean, a year or so ago, I used to walk more along the roadside, and some of the road had potholes in it or whatever, or a hard edge, you know, where there wasn't any smooth area, but it dropped off a bit, and I'm walking at a fast pace and really moving along, and my foot slipped where I would have automatically, you know, put my hands out, slammed onto the pavement, right on the edge of the pavement. I would have been really hurt. But what happened was, and this was an interesting thing, I did like a drop and a roll and then stood up. It was like the coolest thing.
Yeah.
It was like something you wouldn't ordinarily do, but it was like I was aware of, you know, my vulnerability and walking on this particular road. And when my foot slipped, I did just a nice little roll over and stood up perfectly, you know, and went on.
Well, I think it's amazing that majority of us, I think everybody's got stories like that, but I think it's amazing we even survived our childhood, because long time ago I drug a bicycle out of the dump, and this bicycle, it must have been a cursed bicycle from start to finish. And because I was dragging it up out of the dump, I found this bicycle frame, and I was going to make this into a bike, because I didn't have a bike at the time. I was going to piece it together. Well, I'm pulling this doggone thing up out of this pile, and there was this doggone toilet still up at the top of the pile, and it kind of rolled off and grazed the side of my head, and I got some stitches out of that thing. And so by that time, I'm all bound and determined. I'm getting this bike, so I got the bike. I got stitches in my head, and then I got this bike home, and I started piecing it together with parts that the neighbor kids took off their bikes, and for probably good reasons, they took them off of there. But I basically one day I was going down there, and there's these four girls sitting up on the doggone front steps of their house. And so I thought I was going to be cool, you know, and I started riding a wheelie down the road. See, I've got this thing, I'm pedaling right along, I got my wheelie going on. Well, the next thing I know, the front tire shot off the bike. And I knew I was in deep trouble, so that thing came down and I wiped smooth out right in the middle of the street. And every single one of those girls busted out laughing and all that kind of stuff. They rush over to say, hey, you all right? You all right? No, because I guess I was kind of a hoodlum, so back in them days. They probably thought I deserved it, but nonetheless. I had many unfortunate episodes with that bike, and finally, after the last episode where I was trying to play like Evel Knievel and jump the creek, well, that front tire came off again, and the fork stuck in the mud on the other side of the doggone creek, and I fell over sideways in it. I got up and I left that bike in the creek. I bet it's still down there today.
Well, it's kind of, I don't know, sometimes you think as children what we did, like you're saying, it's wonder we're alive, because we kind of do stuff that, I don't know where the thoughts come from, but, you know, it's just, it's a crazy thing.
Well, I googled up on YouTube bad days, and you'd be surprised how many videos out there of people having bad days. All kinds of crazy
Well, things. I think people seem to be having bad days these days, more so than whatever's, but, you know, again, it's like, I feel, yeah, you can say and claim, you want to claim you're having a bad day, well, you're missing out on a lot of good stuff, too.
Well, the thing is, I'm trying to figure out here, I'm just amazed at how humanity's ever even got as far as we have with all the crazy stuff, the bad choices that we've made throughout our history, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I have a theory about that, you know. I mean, I think we're given always two choices. I kind of have a theory that in our lifetime, on our life's journey, we always come across a point in time where we have two pathways in front of us. You're going to choose this pathway or that pathway. But again, you go back to, well, I don't believe in mistakes. So if I don't believe in mistakes, okay, I believe that our choices are opportunities, you know. We're given an opportunity. If we choose that pathway and it turns out to be, well, you could say the worst choice of my life, was it really, or was it an opportunity? So I think that, but this seems to happen, that we meet this crossroads in our lives, and I've had people say, well, I don't know which road, I don't know what to do, I don't know which direction to go, so I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. Well, then they're stuck, you know. Well, they don't have an opportunity to change or to learn something or to gain from an experience.
Sometimes people need to use their words and their actions to kind of help protect each other and guide each other away from stupid things as well, because we talked about a long time ago, there was this one particular video that I found really disturbing where this guy thought it was going to be a good idea to shoot himself in the face with a Roman candle.
I remember that.
Yeah, well, First off,
and all of his friends were encouraging him, right?
Yeah, and he's like, well, it hurts so bad, I didn't think it would hurt that bad. And I don't know whether I was more angry. I think, personally, I was more angry at the people standing around and, well, like the guy filming it, you know, people standing around to watch him do this. I mean, they had to know that wasn't going to end well. All right, and I don't know what he was thinking, that, you know, this was going to be funny or, you know, whatever. But
well, you have to ask, what was he trying to prove, I suppose,
yeah.
Right?
But if people,
don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing.
Yeah, but people,
that's a moment where you need to be very alert.
If people are that desperate for attention, then we got some work cut out for us to try to, you know, get some common sense back to this world, because, you know, he's when you watch the video, it's almost cringe worthy. It is. Yeah, watching this guy do this.
I've seen things like that. I mean, yeah, I saw, I don't know, some person was doing a barbecue and they decided to throw the whole can of whatever, empty the whole can of whatever you light those things with. Lighter fluid. Decided to throw the whole can. Maybe it was slow. Maybe it was going slow or something. I don't know. He decided, just throw the whole, you know, dump the whole amount of fluid out. And, well, that thing just blew up in his face. It was a huge explosion, you know. And this was an adult,
yeah.
I thought. I think it was an adult. It wasn't a kid, you know. It was you just wonder, you know. Well, I think it's critical thinking is down the tubes, in my estimation.
That's it. I just googled up bad idea, because there's a lot of bad ideas out there. Anyway, I don't know. I'm trying to look at on the brighter side of things today, and then try to laugh in the face of adversity. Wasn't a pleasant evening last night with the whole deal. Doggone it, this lady's looking down the barrel of a gun. What the heck for? Gotta see if it's.
She probably want to see if it's plugged up.
Yeah, got anything in it? Oh man, this shit. If you go down there out there on YouTube, it just blows your doors off. It's mind-blowing. That's that phrase again. About how many people will do crazy things to get famous on YouTube. I don't know what's more disturbing, the fact that people actually want to go out there and watch all this stuff? Because to me, it seems like you're kind of promoting it whenever you're, you know, basically going out of your way to find, you know, what other people did that wasn't really a good idea. You know, their bad days or whatever, wrecking their trucks and their cars and doing ridiculous stuff. You said something earlier about, doggone it, had something to do with sitting back and watching all this stuff. I can't remember the phrase you used, but I have to think, if we got a creator looking down on us, wonder what he or she or whatever the case may be thinking.
Well, there you go, he or she, because I put in that popped in that new thing in the UK, some, I don't know, bishop or whatever, was saying that God has no signified gender now. Okay, now they're going to go in that direction, that neither male nor female, right? So I was putting that up, and I'm suspicious of everything these days, unfortunately. That's where life has brought me. Well, let me just say, I guess I'm suspicious, but let me say, in addition, I question everything. Why is that? Why are they doing this now? What does this mean now? But, you know, but here's a good idea. There's a store. If you go to this store, like in the mall, department store, it has a winter simulator to help you try on winter coats.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
You can get in this box. It's a box here with a door and everything. It says, test our outerwear in freezing conditions. And you step into this box with your coat on. Yeah?
And if it keeps you warm, then you buy it.
And you buy it, right?
Well, that's a pretty good idea. Well, I think a lot of the doggone bad ideas out there are, you know, kind of promoted by some of the crazy things that society thinks is there. Did you know that they actually had this deal, was a challenge where they were putting these dishwasher pods in their mouth, these soap pods?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Man. And, you know, even to the extent of the government telling you about doing all kinds of crazy stuff, it's almost like the forces of darkness out there either want to try to kill us off or get us to kill each other off, or you know, combination of all of the above. You know, their population control plans and all that kind of stuff. So it ain't like we already ain't got enough problems as is, stubbing our toe, falling up or down the stairs, and you know, wrecking our cars. Life is pretty dangerous at times. And so I got to find me some sort of middle ground, some peaceful ground. That's what this land out here does for me, is I can stay out. I can stay out of the
world. You need that. Yeah. See, well, you're fortunate and I'm fortunate. I have 103 acres here, and I have this as my sanctuary where I get the get food, feedback, you know, calms me down, centers me, gives me that peace, you know. Not all people have that, you know.
Yeah, no.
But you can get a plant. You can just go get a plant, a flower, a little bush, something, and bring it in your space if you can't get out to the nature.
A goldfish. I find
goldfish. A goldfish, yeah, something, right, will even give you. You just, you know, got to get into it and so on. But, you know, if you, people are at work here. You know, people in the world are at work on solutions. And here's a good thing. There's a sticker now on a mango that lets you know when it's ripe.
Huh, really? So I could change colors or something?
Now that should solve the biggest problem in the world.
Well, whatever happened to the old going up there and touching it and smelling it and squeezing it test?
Well, it says on this little sign, this little sticker, okay, this color, so it gives you three different colors or whatever, four different colors, and it says this color for best taste.
Wow.
So when it turns that color, that's, you know, that's going to be ripe. But there's also, you know, a bar you can go into and set your beer on a strip of ice to keep your beer cold. I mean, these are big problems in the world.
Well, yeah, they got that mug that you can put in the freezer and it'll, like, turn into ice and you pour your beer and it keeps it all cold.
These are big problems, you know. I mean, people have these real issues that these other people are working on, and, you know, you can Yeah, so people are solving. People, you know, you want to buy a coat, go get this, go into this winter simulator, and, you know, you can get your, try on the coat, you know. You know what, then you don't get home and say, oh, I shouldn't have bought this coat, that was dumb, it's freezing out.
It almost sounds ridiculous, some of the priorities that people think about, you know.
Yeah, to solve, right?
Yeah, you don't want to have a hot beer before you go out there and fall up or down the stairs or do something stupid.
Or fall off the cliff.
Yeah. So, I think there's tons and tons of resolutions. There's solutions out there all over the doggone world. Most thing is we got to find some way to, you know, stay focused and common sense. You know, accidents do happen. There was probably things I could have done or listened to that, you know, that was going on yesterday where I probably wouldn't have put myself in the position to be hurt, you know. And, you know, I probably didn't pay enough attention. But I could have just laid in bed this morning and I could have just said to heck with it, you know, let this life go ahead and, you know, just lay around and rest and give myself a break. But you know what? I wasn't having no part of it. Something told me I got to get up and do a Knights of the Round Table show.
Well, and you wouldn't be laughing with me either.
Yeah, and I feel so much better after hanging out with you. Listen to all the different things we talk about.
Listen to all the solutions. Listen, here's a solution for you. Do you get annoyed when you're, you know those cans of potato chips? You know, the round can.
The Pringles cans?
Yeah. So, you know when they all go down to the bottom, like you're taking them off the top, right? You can't, because your hand doesn't fit in that big, in that can.
Yeah, and you try to turn it upside down.
So here's there's a solution. Somebody came up with a solution. There is now a device for keeping the chips at the top.
What, they put a spring under it, or what?
Well, it's like a little plastic thing that hangs onto the, that goes down into the inside of the can. It hangs... There's a little tab that hangs under the outside of the can, so this long thing goes into the inside of the can, beneath your chips, and so as you're getting down and down and down, you just pull that up and lock it in, and pull it up and lock it in, and pull it up and lock it in to keep those chips coming to the top. I'm saying, this is brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
This is a brilliant thing. I mean, this is going to save the world, you know. This will save people from running out of the house screaming that they can't get the chips.
Yeah, and then when you try to turn them upside down to get the ones in the bottom, the little broken crumbs always fall off on your shirt or the floor, you know?
Well, but there is a thing here, you know, you can embrace bad ideas to get to good ideas. Now, there's a concept.
Well, what's an example of that one?
I don't know. I'm just saying, let me see. Okay, let me see what this is. Yeah, they're saying, can we do more study? It's a question that's raised as many big companies. I guess they're talking about companies. Yeah, let me see.
Well, you can learn from your experience, that's for sure. Like, you know, if you got a flat tire and you didn't take the time to ensure that you had a spare tire, or if you didn't even take the time. Do you realize how many young men there are today that don't even know how to change a car tire? I'm like,
well, I do know that. I'm one of them. I mean, I'm just, yeah, don't even go there. So, but listen, sometimes bad ideas are necessary stepping stones, it says here, to good ideas. Sometimes they are, in fact, actually good ideas. In other words, they turn out to be good ideas. I mean, there are people, there are scientists and various other, you know, persons that have had accidents happen, which turned out to be actually, well, you could say that was a bad idea, but in fact, it turned out to be a positive thing, something good, you know?
Well, I noticed, right, though, while I was down there at the doggone VA where I go to get my medical treatment, I was listening to how things work down there, you know, I feel bad for a lot of people that have to go through, you know, some different types of medical down there. I'm not trying to say anything bad about the VA down there. Normally, government-run things just seem to kind of go awry somehow or another. There's a lot of good people down there, a lot of good doctors down there, but after a certain amount of time, different people coming in there and, you know, expecting that they're treated like gold, and they don't get treated like gold, and They start getting frustrated and giving all these doctors and nurses a hard time. These people start to develop almost like a hatred for their job or even the patient for that matter. You know, I got down there, and if I had any complaints of the entire process or another, is what I had to wait for several hours before I could even get pain medicine, and I was like in terrible excruciating pain. But because I wasn't gushing blood, and I was at the emergency room, I had to wait out into the lobby for quite some time.
Okay, yeah.
Fine, I'm not nothing special or anything. I'm just like everybody else, got to wait in line. But, you know, that's like a lot of pain in the process. And, you know, there's quite a few people at the emergency room. And part of that would be, I guess, that, you know, the healthcare system that we got today is not really... We just ain't got it figured out yet. And so,
well,
with the prices of everything and the way that there's long waits in line and you're like really in a bad way. Like yesterday to me, my world, it was a bad thing. You know, it was you know, worth rushing in and getting it taken care of real quick to get that pain to stop so I could breathe or whatever. But it took several hours before this whole entire deal finally played out, and I actually had some pain medicine to try to control the pain and was all wrapped up. So it was a miserable...
Well, there are many stories like that,
yeah,
where people are waiting and waiting and waiting, and the results, come to find out, aren't very good. You know, but you said something about, well, something about people hating their jobs, and so here's a perspective that... There are many people who are in circumstances that, you know, they're working in a position that they hate or they despise, and so their lives are, you know, not very good in that circumstance. But again, it's how you look at things and how you receive things, and it's up to persons or up to us, our perspective on the circumstance that we're in. Doesn't mean that you should stay there if it's really dangerous, but I'm just saying that, again, it's back to... How do we perceive our life and the circumstances? It's in our own hands,
yeah,
is what I'm saying. So here's a couple of things, accidents or mistakes that turned out to be good. Now, some of these I don't know. You'll determine whether they're really good or not. But so here's the first one is, well, okay, I don't think this is good, but Columbus discovering America. So this is a famous example. He was trying to get to China. Okay, and Spain knew his calculations were off, and Portuguese spies knew of a landmass in between, but Columbus's folly allowed for the birth of America. No, I don't know. I wouldn't say that that was such a good thing, and besides, we know now that Columbus really did not discover America. But anyway, number two is penicillin. Did you know that some fruit went bad and some experiments got messed up, but it allowed a scientist to realize some types of mold kill bacteria?
Well,
that's
yeah,
how penicillin came about.
I think the story I heard about that had to do with cheese. A man was sitting around, he looked at his cheese underneath a microscope and seen some terrifying things from back then.
Well, that was the mold killing bacteria.
Yeah.
It came out to be penicillin. But here's one for you. I didn't know this, but there's a microwave oven. So a scientist working on the nuclear bomb noticed his chocolate bar melt in his pocket, even though it wasn't too warm, but he realized the microwaves were heating the chocolate and an oven could be invented then.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Viagra. Let's talk about Viagra. Okay. A nurse in the United Kingdom noticed a strange side effect to blood pressure medication she gave older men in the hospital. Now, I wonder what that could be. She reported this to the pharmaceutical company, and the bad commercials started soon after. Right. You know, potato chips. A customer kept complaining that his potatoes were sliced too thickly and undercooked. And after having them sent back to the kitchen several times, the chef cut them ridiculously thin and deep-fried them until crispy. Now, that's how potato chips was born.
Well, there's a lot of discoveries that were made by accident. What would have otherwise been, you know, a tragedy turned into a plus. So I guess it's all like a journey and a learning experience.
Well, this wasn't a good thing, I think. Teflon, a chemical company, was working on pressurized gas tanks. After one experiment gone wrong, he discovered one of the tanks weighed more than it should empty. Well, weighed more than it should weigh if empty. He was so curious, he cut the tank in half and discovered a chemical reaction under high pressure during a mistake had created a unique slippery coating on the tank's iron interior. That's a chemical company. Was, yeah, that's where your Teflon, that's what your Teflon is, just saying.
Wow.
Yeah. So I actually have one more here, and then I got to get myself going because I have to leave early today, but I see Barry popped in to say hello somewhere in the chat.
Yeah, let's see if he wants to join in.
Do you know how Silly Putty came about? Do you remember Silly Putty?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a lot of fun with that.
So the military was trying to create new materials for plastic explosives, and instead they invented a putty that bounced and absorbs ink. There you go. Thanks to the military, our kids had Silly Putty.
Well, it'd be amazing. It'd be amazing if you actually knew where most of these doggone adventures or inventions came about. So that's pretty interesting stuff there.
Well, Gaz says penicillin was only tested on 6 folks before it was rolled out. Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised on that.
Yeah,
let's just test a few people and see what happens. Use the guinea pigs. Big pigs. Line up, folks.
I'm going to try to add Barry to the conversation. Let's see if that works.
Where is he?
See if he picks up his phone.
Yeah,
he'll be banging on his typewriter. Yeah, what's up?
There he is.
How you doing, Barry? Are you banging on your typewriter today?
No. Well, you know what happened with my keyboard? I spilled coffee on my keyboard.
Oh, he's having a bad day, Bob.
Now the letters stick, so I got to pound.
Maybe you got an invention coming there. I don't know. Pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Maybe I could market the pounding.
You got something coming out there. Good.
You could start a business where you get somebody's keyboard with a sticky key and you go there and bang on it real good. And then they'll say, what are you doing to my keyboard? Oh, I'm loosening up the keys. Here. That'd be $20 plus tax.
There you go.
Anyway, the yard sales, yard sales of stuff for the year. I usually grab one of the yard sales because I can buy them for a bucket of yard sale, but there's no yard sales going on right now, so I'll just have to pound away. How are you guys doing?
Good. Well, we're talking, I don't know what we're talking about. We're talking from every end of the spectrum here today.
Yeah, it started all off, last night I had to go to the hospital, Barry. I had an unfortunate incident with a cordless drill where I was trying to put a screw in to repair a cabinet for my daughter, and the drill slipped off the screw head and rammed into my hand. And everything went downhill from there, including me blacking out and falling over the bar in the kitchen. And finally getting down there, and 2 or 3 hours later, I finally got some pain medicine in me. But, and that doctor was sitting there with no pain medicine, poking and prodding and spreading the thing open and looking down in the cut and all that. And I'm like, I'm about to die. I'm about to come off the seat, you know. But
the worst pain is the stuff that we inflict on ourselves. So,
well, that was one of the ones I did. I probably should have used a little more caution. But either way, I woke up this morning and I was almost like not going to do a radio show because I'm on pain medication and I'm just like really not feeling the whole thing today, you know. And I didn't pre-plan no show or anything, so basically we started off with the bad day, see. Kind of try to make the best of a bad situation and laugh in the face of adversity, if you know what we're saying.
Yeah, well, sometimes the best laid plans are the ones that we don't plan, eh?
Yeah, but it all kind of worked out, and then somehow or another we got 2 inventions that were made by mistakes that turned out to be bad ideas, and Barbara read out a bunch of them that, you know, were accidental discoveries because somebody trying to do something.
I was just whipping on California, and boy, they're getting some rain down there right now.
Well, there's a bad idea what they got going on down there. I'm glad they're getting rain because they got to put some of them fires out, but, you know, the end
of
the
bringing mudslides now.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, they've got Sacramento, I think, got 5 inches of rain or something. I just looped on it real quick here, but they just had major fires, and now they're getting an abnormal amount of rain. So combine the two together, and you're going to have mudslides and flash flooding. So California's getting
an 11 inches. They said they were going to get 11 inches of rain.
Wow.
Unheard of. But this happened, Barry, didn't this happen the last... Remember the last month's fires, super fires? The super fires?
Yeah.
Right after that, they had rain, heavy rain, and mudslides again.
What a coincidence, eh, Barbara?
Exactly.
Okay, so I got a question. With all this chaos going in the world, how are we all going to kind of like... last time, I think we had a similar conversation. We were talking about Barry and Patty and Barbara and myself going down the rabbit hole and staying real close together, trying not to get lost as we're going through all this stuff. How do we find a way as people to work our way through this entire world that is probably full of bad ideas?
That's a million-dollar question. Can we?
Well,
I don't choose that time to come to the conclusion that, honestly, I believe what's going to come is going to come, and what's going to pass is going to pass, and it's which where you are spiritually in your own life right now is the most important thing. Everything else is out of our hands. It really is. We can't control what's going to happen. I know we can talk about it, but to actually be able to stop what's coming, I don't want to sound negative.
Well, I kind of agree with you.
But I just think things are going to play out the way they're supposed to play out, and we're just along for the ride.
I kind of agree with you to some extent. However, I think that somehow or another through this entire process, we got to take care of each other. May said in the chat room, I believe it was an attack. She says they put thoughts in our heads, and you are psychically I can't even pronounce it. Attacked may not have been an accident. It's kind of like either those demons or gremlins that somehow or another, every time you're having a good day, want to come along and mess things up or something. Like, I do kind of feel like sometimes we are under spiritual attack. I also feel like sometimes...
I'm kind of right there with you on that. I think that that's a play out here in a lot of areas and a lot of the arenas of our lives. I certainly agree with that. I guess I have a kind of two perspectives here on this, Barry, what you said about... I agree that I think things are playing out the way they need to play out. But I also feel that on some level, we do have an opportunity, okay, to participate in a way, and that would be how we participate depends on then what we experience. You know what I'm saying? It's like, in other words, it's not across the board that everybody's going to experience the same thing.
Well, like I
that's not even real.
I had a choice. I could have just, you know, kind of laid down and let things go the way they were, but I decided to focus, instead of focusing my energy towards a woe is me, trying to maybe try to put a little bit of love and some hope and some laughter in somebody's heart today, you know, sort of at my expense, because I actually was the one that run the drill through my hand, so, you know.
Well, but, even that's questionable now.
Yeah, it's even that, because, you know, somebody's like, all right, he's having too much of a good time, and everything's working out square. Let's mess with this guy and see if we can get him a cursing and all that kind of stuff.
Well, if we are leaning towards we create our own reality, you know, that specific theory, if we are leaning towards that we have more power than we were led to believe, you know, that perspective... And if you believe or lean towards what goes around comes around, what you focus on and what you believe, you create and manifest, and that's your experience. So that's why I'm saying on the outside, let's say on the outer rim of things, or there is a process happening here that will have to happen and have to unfold, and that's according to, you want to call it divine divine plan, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. I believe there are things that are unfolding that must take place. Now, as far as we are individually or collectively concerned, if we focus on the nightmare, if we focus on the doom and gloom and the worst whatever, blah, 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 if you believe or trend toward, well, we create our own reality, what we focus on, we will experience. That's why I'm saying it depends on how we, I guess, what we focus on and what we believe, you know. There's two things going on here. That's what I'm saying.
Well, just prior to the actual accident itself, Neil was in there with me. He was actually holding up the cabinet that I was working on. And he saw it before it actually even happened, because he actually tried to warn me, but instantaneously, right after the words came out of his mouth, the accident occurred.
Too late.
Yeah, I didn't catch what he was saying in time to avoid the situation, and so it all played out. But you know,
well, what you're saying is, you could say that is an analogy of what we're dealing with in life.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, here we are talking on this show, and we give solutions, and we give points, and various information on things, how that might help, or I guess you could call them warnings, and persons out there are either connecting with that, or they're not, and they're missing the drill coming at them, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's about it, because, like, myself, sometimes I'll get frustrated, because what we're sitting here telling everybody, there are solutions to problems and we can start working it, and it just don't seem like, it's like kind of like when you're watching TV and the bad guy's getting ready to get the victim in the movie, and you're shouting at your TV, look out, you know, and they just can't hear you. That's what I feel like sometimes when we're sitting here talking about all these different ways we can fix the world and, you know, trying to motivate people. I think that we have a lot of ideas that if they were actually put into action, we could fix this world. I honestly believe that. You know, I get the whole destiny and how things are to play out, but I also think that we also play a part in how this all comes about, and that we can actually at the very least lessen the pain for one another on this journey that we got through life. Does that make sense?
Myself, it really all comes back to the way I see things right now. It's what's inside of me and my spiritual connection, because I have to follow my biblical prophecies, because to me, the person that wrote the book wrote the beginning, and he wrote the middle, and he wrote the end. And everything that's been written so far has come to play. And what we see right now is just an incredible manifestation of prophecies being unfolded.
Sure, but
and I got to follow that because to me, he tells me what's coming. He tells me what's going to happen and how it's going to be played out. And then I look at world events and I look at everything that's being correlated right now to set this up. That's the way I see it's going to be played out. So to me, it's just making sure that my spiritual armor's on all the time.
Yeah,
I get attacked. I get my. You know what? You talked a few minutes ago about being attacked mentally and having a spiritual attack. Well, that happens, man. I feel it in my life all the time. I get up some mornings and I want to walk away from all this. I don't even want to look at it.
Well, but,
I say a little prayer and boom, it's gone. But I feel that myself. And you know what? And the people I talk to and that are involved in alternative are telling me the same thing, that they're getting these negative feelings and they don't know where they're coming from.
Wouldn't you also think, though, that being a prophecy that you believe is going to be playing out as a warning to the world, to either get yourself spiritually prepared or at least use this knowledge of what people has warned you ahead of time about to, you know, smooth the path out or try to help others, to get right or whatever. You see what I'm trying to say here?
He's definitely telling us right now. The signs are in front of our faces. Everything that Revelations in the Bible talks about is now in front of our faces. There is just no denying anything that's prophesied. It is being played out. And what he told us is that when you start to see these signs, it's going to mark my return to the Earth. So, you know, to me, I'm looking at it, I follow world events every day, I see how it's all being set up. And there is a master plan going on behind the scenes here that most people can't even get to grasp.
I think that it's a key piece, what you said, Shaziz, and I'm feeling the agreement is here with the three of us, is that, you know, the prophecy, if you want to say, well, Gaz says, is prophecy constructed deliberately? If you want to say that, or it doesn't matter, we can see that prophecy is right in our face happening. Now, I feel that prophecy, like you said, Shaziz, why is prophecy given us in the first place? Why? Why bother giving us prophecy? Well, I think that it is about our determination or decisions. You could get right with your creator because you're looking at those prophecies. Or you could say, yeah, it's a bunch of bunk and I don't give a crap. That's a choice, you know, but I'm just saying, I think the reason we're given prophecy is that we have a determination of free will to choose. Regarding these prophecies, you can, like I say, get right on the right side, get your spiritual foundation strong, you know.
Well, let me put something on the table. Imagine in 1965, if everyone would have heard what Paul Harvey said and the explanation of the road that we were on as far as the society, and they actually took that to heart and did everything possible to, if not, you know, directly avoid it, at least lessen the blow for society, so that today that things would be a lot different than they were back then, if that makes any sense. What I'm trying to say is, he said a lot of things that we're seeing unfold today. All right, he must have been like a prophet, because every word that came out of his mouth in 1965 has actually come to pass. Now, what if somebody back then would have took that message seriously, if they would have actually heard that message and would have tried to, you know, work towards making society better back then, as opposed to wait until we finally get to this point in the game and then trying to figure out ways to work through it. You see what I'm saying here?
Well, here's a conversation going on in the chat, and, you know, Gaz says, is the powers that be manipulating events to fall in line with prophecy? You know, Lisa agrees on that. And I say that in many instances, I do think so. Because if we believe that what we focus on, we manifest and create. So if we are focusing on something, we are also adding to its creation. You know, and Lisa says free will to choose to follow their narrative or find our own belief system. So we're manifesting what we focus on, okay? So are we, in fact, being led to focus on this and therefore manifesting it? When I look at that, I have to say, the only one that has the answer for me is my creator, period.
Exactly.
That's it. I could get caught and lost in the prophecies. I could get over this and drag that way. I think that's where the confusion and the manipulation takes place. For me, it's my creator, great spirit. That's my answer to everything. That's the only one I will follow. That's the only one I believe in. That's it, period. Well, I cannot go for anybody else. Man, nothing, no person, no man, no group, or whatever. That's what I say.
I can't disagree with anything you all said, but what the point, I guess I'm just not finding the proper words to say what it is I'm trying to say, is that, you know, knowing all of these things are going to, you know, come to pass or whatever, the way that we treat each other in the worst possible times seems to me like some sort of higher lesson to be learned on how, you know, like when you see people, when there's a tragedy, people come from all over the place and they give each other food and clothes and pitch in some work to help rebuild and all that kind of stuff. That's our true potential of what we could actually do. Now, why do we got to wait for a tragedy to bring those things about? This is what I'm trying to say. And if you know there's a prophecy coming down the road about all these terrible things that must come to pass, you'd think that it would put more people on the path of trying to do the things that are right before things got bad. So at the very least, we can at least comfort each other on this journey down this rough road.
You have to ask the question, why is it only that when a huge disaster happens that people come together? That, what is that? I question that too. And then after the disaster is done, they go about their business, back to their business, back to their whatevers.
They
don't have the capacity to sustain or maintain this unity, this helping each other, this working together thing. They don't have that, the ability.
Yeah, only in a time of disaster does that seem to be sparked in the human soul, or,
yeah.
You know?
So why is that?
Well,
I don't get that, right?
I got a new t-shirt made up, and it says in big red letters across the front of the right t-shirt, "Good morning." And I wore it yesterday. And you know how many people said good morning to me? Everybody that looked at the t-shirt said good morning.
There you go.
It was another social experiment, man.
It's a subtle brainwashing.
You get a smile from people, you know, and we live in such a bleak world that anytime you can bring a smile to a person's day, man, that makes their day a lot better. And it works. Go get a t-shirt, guys. Wear it. And watch how many people see
you. Well, I'll get a t-shirt that says, "I love you," you know, see what happens.
My Trudeau for Prison t-shirt, I mean, that's a viral t-shirt. When I wear that, man, it's like conversations are flowing left, right, and center. Trudeau for Prison 2000.
Right.
I have five of them, Barbara. I got five of them made up. It cost me $110 to get five of them made up. I got one for every day of the week, and I wear it all the time in public, and I start conversations every day over my t-shirt. So,
well, you should put Trudeau for Prison Monday, Trudeau for Prison Tuesday, so people don't think you're wearing the same shirt every day. You know, they're kind of like, wow, he keeps wearing that shirt.
In our country right now, Shazos, you are going to see in the next couple of weeks the biggest pushback against our government orchestrated by Canadian people that you've ever seen in your life.
Well, it's going to happen here, too.
Well, what's happening is that, you know, Trudeau announced that he's going to sign Canada on the United Nations Mass Immigration Pact. Piece of legislation or agreement, not any agreement ever be signed on. He is not going to do this. The Canadian people are going to stop this, and I say that because there's a group of lawyers, very, very prominent lawyers, involved with a group in Ontario right now that are filing a moratorium this week on any actions done by the Canadian government. They're laying down. It's going right to the Attorney General. They've got four lawyers involved. This is exciting. This is going to make the news. This is going to be exposed on CBC. No matter how much they try to cover this up, it's going to be brought to public attention.
Well, here's the difference, your country and our country. Here's the difference, that Trump is not signing that, like Trudeau is, okay, but there's people in this country that are going to attack the government for not signing it.
Of course.
There's the difference. Your people know this is a very bad thing. This is not good for the economy. It's not good for the country. All right? And the people here in this country are screaming at Trump for not signing that, for going against that policy. All right? So this is a fascinating thing here.
Well, on this immigration thing, you know, Americans aren't opposed to natural immigration, you know, where people just come here when they get...
Well, lawful.
Yeah, well, the whole thing, what's going on right now, because of, you know, individuals who's trying to force immigration, they're actually creating a problem down on the border. Right now, Mexico's having riots down there because... You know, Trump's pretty much locked down the border, and they're on the Mexican side, and so they're, you know, not very happy about the situation. But in the process, they're talking about it's actually developing a humanitarian crisis because you got all these homeless people on that side of the border that's got to be fed and medical and all that kind
that's
of stuff.
That's what's happening in Tijuana.
Yeah.
The governor here is...
Emergency
with all that's going on.
Trump has shut the border down. He's not going to take this. He is not going to take this. So what Mexico has done is they have created their own problem because the border between Mexico and the rest of South America is a very small border, very easily defended by a large group of military people. And they allow these people to go through their country and come to the American border Trump is going to, he's just not going to take it. Now, like Trump or not, this is absolutely imperative that these people are stopped, that Mexico now is going to have to deal with the problem that they created, because they could have stopped these people at the southern border. They allowed them to go through Mexico. Now they're at the U.S. border. The U.S. border is shut down. Mexico has created their own problem. It is a humanitarian problem, and it's going to be ramped right up. There's going to be so much pressure on the United States to let these poor people in, let these poor people in. I say, boom, it's got to stop. You have to have borders. And I applaud Trump for what he's doing.
Well, I do too, and I feel that, you see, the people don't really realize the whole circumstance when you let waves of people in illegally. Who pays for that?
What it does
to the economic system. How the pressure, right? The pressure is upon the economic system, then who suffers is the little people.
Yeah. The taxpayer, the hard-working Canadian American.
Hard-working, exactly.
Exactly. Well, and you know, American people are seeing this now, Bart, and of course the left is going to ramp up their agenda, because their agenda is the destruction of the Western civilization. And so people can realize that the left has no intention of a good future for our countries. This battle will go on, but you know what? I think Trump's doing the right thing. I absolutely support him. I wish that Trump would come up here and take Mr. Trudeau for a ride.
Well, you're not the only one that's asking for Trump to come to their country. I mean, really.
I have actually tweeted Donald Trump asking him. Our country is being run by a lunatic globalist. treasonous.
He knows that, Barry.
Yeah, there's some really crazy stuff going on right now. I'm in touch with people down the state through Roger Landry and a few other people that are really inside of what's going on down there right now. And I'll tell you, we are going to see some crazy stuff here, guys. It's coming.
Oh, I know it. Patty knows it. We've been talking about it. I mean, we're headed for martial law. We are going to, and martial law, okay, the breakdown of everything, all the systems, the Fed, everything, the banking system, the economy, everything's going to be hit big time, and the people are going to go crazy, which is going to call for martial law, which is the plan. Anyway, we have 60-some thousand government persons that the Marines are getting ready to arrest.
I know.
You've got all these prisons upgraded, okay? So, I mean, you've got stuff going on here that's unprecedented, that has never, ever before happened, and this is all part of the big game, the play, you know, the push. And my question is, because, you know, I came across something that alarmed me, and you know I've been on the fence about this. I've been, okay, I'm watching the good things Trump is doing, but I don't trust anybody. And I feel, okay, where are we being taken? Where are they heading us? What is their plan? Well, we don't know their plan. They just keep saying, trust the plan. Well, guess what? When some man stands in front of me and says, no, trust the plan. You don't need to know any, you know, particulars. Well, I'm not going to just accept that. So in a while ago, Q wrote a post, and I know you know who Q is, wrote a post that said, we will show you a brave new world. Check that those words out. Well, I did. Okay, brave new world. This is familiar to me. So, Barry, I don't know if you know what this is. What is that noise?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm making myself another pot of coffee, guys. Sorry. I'm trying to do something. I'll stop it.
This is important. Stop the coffee.
Yeah, mute your mic.
Listen. I want you to hear this, because I question, okay, what is Brave New World? It was very familiar to me, so I Googled Brave New World, and guess what? Sure enough, it's the book written by Aldous Huxley that talks about a future world that is basically identical to Agenda 21, 2030, Brave, you know, the One World Order stuff. It's where the future, where people are basically, you know, pilled every day, where there's constant surveillance, 24 hours a day broadcasts of mind control government information, and they're basically worker bees, and this is what Brave New World is. And I'm questioning, okay, why does Q say they will show us a Brave New World? And I questioned this on one of the non-Serial Brain 2, who basically I know is part of the Q group, and he censored me.
Hmm.
He censored me.
Hmm.
Yeah. That says something for you. Right?
So, yeah, I agree with you, Barbara. I'm sitting watching this whole situation unfold. And people got to realize that if martial law is declared in the United States of America, all your rights are immediately nullified. That the government has complete control over society. Now, we got Trump sitting here doing all these great things for the American people and blah, blah, blah. And his support ratings are up and people going, yeah, 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 he's our man. People can turn on a dime. And when you get that kind of power, you have complete control over society. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
Well, there was.
I have said they have people bowing down to Q, to Trump. And you know what? I don't bow down or follow any man, any human. The one I follow, who will lead me, is Creator Great Spirit. But these people basically have forgotten that, and they fully, wholly believe that this is the Savior here, this Trump and Q, and they're going to save us. And where we go one, we go all. Guess what? Where I go by lead from my Creator Great Spirit. That's it. But, I'm very suspicious of this, and especially when this popped up. Brave New World, I'm sorry. You people better wake up. It all looks good, but I think it's the same story. Frankly, I think it's the same game. It's the same ploy.
There was a prophetic warning about a person that would come on the scene that would be basically depicted as a savior that would bring about temporary peace, and then all heck would break loose.
The word of the Antichrist.
Yeah, I look back at the doggone
What do they call it? The false prophet.
Yeah.
The false prophet. Yeah, and
the Antichrist. False prophet first.
I also
the Antichrist.
I also look
exactly.
back. Listen, guys.
Exactly.
I
see that right now, right in front of our faces, man.
Hey.
Yes.
I also look back at there's a conspiracy that hasn't really gone away, but it's kind of got a little bit less noisy or whatever, was about all the FEMA camps that were actually built in the United States were in a conspiracy. It was supposedly round up American citizens during martial law or even, immigrants that they had to house or whatever, during this mass immigration thing. I think this whole entire immigration thing, because if you look at it, it's not just happening here in the United States. It's happening in Canada and all over Europe and stuff like that. There's supposedly these are people fleeing war zones. But I think...
No, they're not. They're not fleeing. Look, I'm going to tell you something. This will blow your mind. So do you know that Q and Trump knew about this caravan in April? April.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that tell you?
Well,
tell me.
It tells me that this whole event is all been planned, whether it be a dog and pony show or...
So, by who and for what purpose? Okay, there's many things you could look at.
Well, in order to bring about a one world government, you have to make the whole governmental system more powerful than the people, and you got.
Well, you have to take down the government first that you have now, and insert the government that you chose.
Yeah, that's
And that's
what I'm
what's
saying.
Happening, and that is a military government. Pay attention, because there are numerous persons in our government on both sides, the House and the Senate, that are dropping out, that are retiring or just disappearing. And do you know that there are documents that Patty and I found that state that there are military personnel signing up for government jobs, hundreds and hundreds of them, because they're going to be put in the position in our government, a military government. Because all these people are being arrested. You got 60-some thousand people sealed indictments, and now it just came out that the Marines are preparing to arrest 60-some thousand people.
Well, and I also think that part of this whole big picture is the whole gun control debate, where you got to disarm the people. Otherwise, like in Canada and Australia and different places where they don't have like a Second Amendment kind of deal, they can't own firearms per se unless they're locked up in some sort of hunting lodge or whatever. Those would probably be a little easier to push that agenda on, then obviously if you went to United States and tried that, there was a, it was either a Japanese or a Chinese general that said something about the reason why they don't invade the U.S. is because there'd be a blade, a gun behind every blade of grass, which is pretty much truthful. Because the American people are armed to the teeth, and they've got, you know, military-grade weapons in some incidents. And so, you know, that's why I keep telling everybody, if there was ever a second Civil War here in the United States, there wouldn't be no winners. You know, these global elitists, I think they would have overplayed their hand, because the United States would basically turn into some version of the Road Warrior, like you've seen out there on TV, and then whoever... whoever could manage to be the strongest during that whole deal might eventually be able to come to power or whatever. But in the meantime, I don't think you could ever get back order out of that type of chaos. If you actually look at the citizenry of the U.S., outside of all the folks that are sick from all the GMOs and the bad medicines and you know, the poor quality of water and such, you got a lot of crazies out there with a whole lot of different ideologies that don't have anything to do with any kind of really good spirituality or, you know, faith-based kind of deal. You know, where,
well, they want the chaos. You see, they're pushing the chaos so that they can bring on the martial law. Yep. That is the plan.
Exactly, Barbara. They bring it on quick. I mean, we got how many Americans right now on psychotropics? I think the number is 36 million Americans are taking psychotropics on a daily basis.
Yeah.
If you know anything about psychotropics, then the withdrawal from psychotropics is the worst experience that a human being can go through. And I've talked to people personally that have done it. A girl in this community, her name's Andrina, she was on them, and we got her on cannabis oil, and that's the only thing that helped her get off this stuff for good. She was going through unbelievable withdrawal symptoms. They design these things to trap you for life, and once you get them into your body, you're done. Well, if you take a psychotropic out of a person's body, their mind will absolutely go crazy. So really, if they want to create chaos, well, we ain't got no more money for your drugs, guys. So,
well, but isn't it interesting that there's been that push, suddenly that wave, that spike in these types of drugs into this country now, all of a sudden, right, to get the people addicted to this stuff? I mean, this is all part of this madness, this dark, deep, evil plan. And I just want to say, because I have to leave like in a minute or so, just want to say, yeah, I have to leave early.
Yeah, sure, Barbara, we're talking. You can't leave.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. That's so sweet. And I wish I didn't have to leave. But I just want to say that all that we're talking about, we do research, you see. That's how we know this stuff. And we have other people who do research, too. And we just don't take one aspect of the research and say, yeah, that's it. No, we do more research to make sure that this information is factual. But what we're seeing here is quite serious. Again, the serious place we are reaching in human history is never before we've been here, I think. And that's why we're saying this is a spiritual war. And that's why we're saying, you know, get right with your, where I'm saying anyway, and I think you guys agree, get right with your creator and get your spiritual foundation really strong, because that's the only way you're going to weather through this mess. And this is a planned mess, and no matter where anybody says they're going to take me, and the only way I will go is through the voice of my creator, great spirit. And I will not be a sheeple. I've never been a sheeple, and I will not follow the authority's agenda, no matter what is happening. So I'm just saying, and then I'm just going to, hear what you guys have to say, and thank you so much for allowing me to be here today. I love being here with you.
It's always an honor when you're here. How do we put a seed of hope in this people's hearts so that, you know, that Barry always talks about putting on the spiritual armor of God, which I feel like is the right thing as well, but I want to try to figure out some way to at least put a seed of hope in people's minds so that they know that, you know, there are options and ways that they can take care of one another, even in the worst of times. I mean, you see it every time there's a tragedy. People come together. And while we're together, the darkness doesn't have any power over us. But while we're separated in our own individual little bubbles of the world, you know, we're under attack. We're under constant attack.
Well, people will have no choice, you see. It's going to get to the point the circumstance is not going to be like a, you know, the worst hurricane or the worst this or the worst this. This is going to be an ongoing issue that isn't going to stop after a couple of weeks, and where you can go back to just sit in your living room and go back to the routine. This is going to be either you're going to come together with people in a good way and work together, okay, and you're going to, you know, come from your heart spirit, or you're going in on the other pathway. Because this is where we are. This is why we say this is a crisis or a time, a point in time that humanity has never really met. And this is a spiritual, think of it, a spiritual war.
Yep.
Spiritual war. Why do we say it's a spiritual war? You have to think about that. Okay? This isn't a bunch of angels out there, you know, warring against each other. This is you and me.
Well, book,
you know, this is
said,
about you and myself and the people.
The book
so
says
this
we
is,
don't fight against flesh and blood. That we
this is what we're talking about, is something's going to be happening here that if you haven't got your foundation strong and your head on straight by now, you're going to have a trouble. You're going to have a problem. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult for everyone. But you see, I have a faith. I have a faith that I know, you know, that my trust and my faith in the Creator, Great Spirit, and what I'm going to, you know, basically be in prayer, and I am in prayer constantly, but that frequency, that energy of love and compassion is what I maintain, is what I hold, what I will hold no matter what. And ultimately, it's what I do in this moment when it comes, how I live in that moment, how strong my love is and my gratitude for Creator Great Spirit. That's the only peace that I am working towards maintaining in that moment. If it's time for me to leave this earth, I will leave with that energy, with that frequency.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, nothing else is more important, Bert.
I think
okay, you guys, I'm out of here. I love you. And, well, I hope to tune in later on. Patty and I will be hosting Jordan Maxwell, and we've got some dynamite questions to ask him.
Cool.
Well, I wish your show wasn't going the same time as mine.
Oh, sorry. Well, you can listen to the podcast.
Because Jordan Maxwell is one guy that I really like listening to.
Well, you can listen to the pod. I mean, I've been racking my brains for some questions to really go deeper with him, you know, and to hopefully, you know, just see his perspective. We all have our perspectives. We all have, you know, which is rightful, but I'm curious about his particularly because of his history and the knowledge and also the connections that this man has, you know, I guess you'd say the persons or people that he is connected with that don't, this is not your general conversation. I mean, the things that he has known and is privy to is not out there anywhere. Okay, that's why I'm saying.
Well, how many hours away from now is your show, Barbara?
Well, it's going to be
Five hours from now.
Oh, Barry's show runs at 9 UK, I think he said, Gaz.
Yeah, but your show's at 1 p.m. Pacific or
well,
3 o'clock
is,
Central?
My time is 6 here. I'm Eastern. 6
right.
o'clock.
So it's 3 o'clock.
That'd be 3 o'clock.
So
right.
It'll be 11 in Scotland, UK time, I think.
So it's 6 o'clock tonight, your time, your show?
My time.
All right, well...
It'll be 6 o'clock.
You're East Coast.
Huh?
You're East Coast.
I'm East Coast.
Well, so it starts at 3 o'clock my time.
That's correct.
And my show ends at 3 o'clock my time.
Well, there you go.
Jeez. Okay, well, I'm just going to have to sit in your chat room.
Well, blimey.
All right, well, if I can arrange it, I'll try to...
Turn me in.
if I...
No, actually, we can't do that because Gaz has asked us to chat in. But you can get in the chat and ask questions, absolutely. I hope you do that.
I'll be there, Barb.
Okay, you guys. Yeah, 3 p.m. Pacific, Gaz says.
All right, well.
Okay, you guys, I'm out of here. Love you all.
All right,
bye.
Thanks again. All right, so folks, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. We talk about all kinds of stuff here, but we're going to take a quick music break, so refresh, and then come back and try to polish off the show. You going to stay with me, Barry? Barry. I think I lost Barry.
table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Barry banging stuff around in the background. That's all right. Anyway, so I like that last song there. I get knocked down. Barry, mute your mic, brother.
I'm adding my chaga.
All right, add your chaga, but mute your mic. I can hear everything you're moving in your kitchen. You must have a small kitchen.
Barry lives in a rabbit hole underground. There's not a lot of room. He has to climb over stuff to get to the far side of the room.
I believe that. So, anyway, I love that last song. I get knocked down, but I get up again, you know.
I'm not going to get
you down. Yo, last night I went to the hospital because I ran a drill through my hand, and it wasn't a pleasant episode, and I could have just laid down and went to sleep today, just said the heck with today and tried to sort out what's going on out there in the world. But I thought better of that because, you know, I think that we got a lot of things going on in this world. We got a lot of things that may be very well out of our control. A lot of choices being made on our behalf that have nothing to do with what would be the best interest of society, so to speak. But I'm trying to be the forever optimist. I'm trying to think of, you know, at least keep peace, hope, and love alive and try to work with one another and sort things out and bring the evils of darkness to light so that everybody sees what's going on and maybe we can somehow fix this mess. But I'm pretty much under the impression that there's not too many people that believe we can actually do anything about it. But, like I said, the book said that no man would know the time or day, it'd come like a thief in the night. Well, you know, and I got to be the forever optimist, so that means that since I ain't got no idea when the last day is going to be around, I think I want to make the best of a bad situation and do what I can to make things better as best as I possibly can for everybody. That's just the kind of guy I am. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's all I got to work with. So, with that said, we got two people in here. You want to introduce everybody there, Barry?
Yeah, I've got Mike Chahun with me and Duke Willis. And I thought I'd just pull these two gentlemen in for a chat for the next hour. Are you with us, Mike, or is it just Duke here right now?
I think it's just me. I don't think Mike connected.
Okay. Well, I was just looking for somebody to spice up the conversation for an hour, Duke, and I thought I'd bring you in, because you've always got something to say about stuff.
Well,
we're talking about insanity today.
I spent 20 years married to a ginger. Does that qualify as an expert on insanity?
Well, that could very well be, because I've noticed throughout my life, redheaded ladies are kept very mean when they want to.
Oh, yeah. Well, we won't get into the whole story of my marriage and gingers. I have two ginger daughters, and I still sleep with one eye open.
Just don't make them mad, brother.
Oh, goodness, no. Always send them to bed happy and keep the cutlery drawer locked.
Yeah.
Your comment just a minute ago about bringing the evil to light, I agree with you. What we need to do is shed the light of day on evil. But here's where people make the misconception, the misdirection. They believe that shedding the light on evil will convert evil from the dark to the light.
Oh, no, we'll never change.
That's not how it works. You can't convert communism to freedom. It doesn't work that way. You can't convert non-believers into believers. They have to make that choice themselves.
Yep,
if we expose the evil, you're not going to convert the evil. And that's what we have to accept as patriots. We have to accept the fact that sooner or later, we are going to have to be Noah and close the doors of the ark. Sooner or later, we are going to have to be Lot and turn our backs on Sodom and Gomorrah and walk away.
Well, I get that.
But there's, you know, we have to confront evil, because right now we have a spiritual battle.
And to say that some people in this world can't come from evil to the light, I would disagree with that 100%. I believe that a lot of people now in their lives are really starting to connect with a spiritual being because they see what's going on in the world. We see the ramp up of evil. It's so in our face. Our society has become so morally demoralized, it just blows my mind. But that's talked about at this particular time, and there's lots of people now that are really starting to pay attention to the message that we're sharing. And you can't just kind of walk away from it. You have to confront it, man. I'm not going to walk away and turn my back on it. I'm going to look it right in the eye and call it out for what it is.
Well, you know, everybody who's got an automobile out there knows that that automobile at some given point in time might break down. And so you if you plan ahead, you get wise and you gather up a few tools that might be able to help you get that doggone thing back on the road. And that's what I'm trying to do here with Shazia's Radio, is give people the tools of knowledge and, you know, try to at least lead by my life by the faith that I follow, that, you know, maybe my example is good enough and they adopt that into their life and it benefits their life. I think that's the best that I can do personally to try to help this situation along in the best fashion. Look, we might be going down one heck of a rough road, but we don't have to fight each other throughout this journey. We can try to help each other through this journey. I mean, at least cushion the blow, so to speak. You know, I get it. I see all the fires going on. I hear all the wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence. I also know that it was prophesied. What Paul Harvey said in 65. I mean, he read it like a book, just like we're seeing it today. But my deal is that, you know, I have to be the forever optimist. The glass is half empty or half full, whatever that, however that works out. I think that if we just lay down and give up, you know, then we just kind of let evil just do its thing. I don't want to do that. I put on my spiritual armor. I'm going into battle with all the knowledge that I got, trying to uplift the people out there in the world and try to make this world a better place. You know, what else I got to do? You see what I'm saying?
I think I need to maybe clarify my point here. I didn't say that people can't make up their own mind and choose to follow the light. What I said was, we as patriots can't convince them. And any Christian priest or Catholic priest will tell you the same thing. You can lead the horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And we as patriots, many of us, are feeling that frustration, that angst over why can't you people see the light of day, see the light of truth. And we have to, as patriots, accept the fact that not all the horses are going to drink the water, no matter what we do to entice them to drink it.
Yep, I understand that.
I understand your point. I agree. There's going to be millions that don't ever, ever wake up to what's going on. They refuse to wake up. I agree.
Right.
There's people that aren't, no matter how much information. At this point, right now, at this particular point in history, if you're not aware of the chaos, if you're not aware of the nefarious activities going on by our governments in the name of protecting the people, and in the name of mass immigration, in the name of blah, 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 then you're just not paying attention. We're at a tipping point right now. We're either going to win this or we're going to lose it. Well, my book tells me, Duke, that we're going to go through some bad times, and I honestly believe that, before the good times come. But there is going to be good times in the future. But we're going to go through some shit. Oh, excuse my language. It slipped out. We're going to go through some poop before we get there.
Well, personally, if this was a train that we were all on and I seen everything all chaotic like that and there was a stop and you actually had a choice to get off this train, I'd probably be the first one out the door. I'd be like, everybody else, you know, you don't want to ride this ride. Come on, let's go. I don't know. This whole thing is just, it's mind torture as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I want to try to, I look at this world, folks, I look at this world with different eyes, I guess, and majority of the people that I know, is that I see we've been given something so amazing and an opportunity to make a choice of how we're going to treat this world and each other. And I'm like the whole utopian mindset. I believe that you know, if we all could actually come together with a universal agreement to try to do the right thing all the time, you know, and fix things, we could patch this world up and everybody'd have food and shelter and all that kind of stuff. I can't give up on that because I believe in the dream. And something Jesus said, you know, he said that if I had to make the faith of a mustard seed, that I could move mountains. Well, I'm testing that. I feel like I got faith of a mountain, and I'm trying to move a whole bunch of mustard seeds. But, you know, it's not my job. But it's still, I love everybody. And that's just the being that I am. And I want to try to make this world a better place. I see all the bad things. I know we got to talk about all the bad things. But I don't want to dwell in the darkness. I want to find a way to shine that light so that hopefully those who do wake up will, you know, benefit. That's about the only thing I can do.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Shaziz. Your concept of let's help everyone, that would be comparable to today's international aid efforts of sending millions of dollars around the world. And I can't help but think of a video I watched. I forget the professor that did it, but he used big glass jars and gumballs. And he explained how bringing 1 million immigrants out of a country with 10 million people in poverty is a waste of time, because by the time you bring 1 million people per year, those 10 million people have another 2 million babies.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything to improve the country that you're saving people from. I truly believe that the humanitarian effort, and I'm going to use this word euphemistically as sort of a broad paintbrush, the humanitarian effort of the Christian belief has forgotten the Bible's teachings of don't just give a man a fish, teach him how to fish and feed himself. Our entire welfare system in North America is an example of the forgetting, the ignoring of that lesson. That's why we have generation after generation of people who do nothing for themselves but sit there and wait for a government check every month.
Yeah, I get
teach
that.
Them
I agree.
To fish instead of giving them a check.
I agree. We can amass things.
It's a socialism.
We can amass tons and tons of weapons of war and machinery and medical supplies and food to go over there and mop somebody into the Stone Age. So why couldn't we take that same strength and go over there and teach and help rebuild communities to give them that message that you said, teach them how to fish so they can fish for themselves, you know? That's the whole thing. I get that. That was a good, powerful message, you know? I don't think that going over there and just, you know, handing them food all the time and not expecting them to learn how to garden is going to be a long-term solution, you know?
Exactly. But we do the same thing. When I say we, I mean our society has adopted that very same, oh, it's the Christian thing to help the poor and the downtrodden. No, it's the Christian thing to teach the poor and the downtrodden to help themselves.
Yeah.
That's the Christian thing.
But everybody sitting in this panel right now knows that if a tenth of the money that was spent on military equipment every year worldwide was spent on feeding people, there wouldn't be a starving person in the world today. And if a tenth of that money was spent developing infrastructure in countries and developing ways for them to grow their own food, agricultural setup, desalinization plants so they have access to unlimited water. We could do so much with the money that we spend building weapons to kill ourselves.
Yeah.
But of course, until that whole system is brought down, until we understand that we're just pawns in a game, that we're being played from the time we're born, we're indoctrinated into a system of supporting a government that has no interest in your future, in the well-being of your family or your health. We're being poisoned. We're being manipulated, we're being indoctrinated in our schools, we see our family unit falling apart. All this is thought about in think tanks years and years and years ago. I'd love to get a microphone into one of these think tanks and listen to what these guys say for a couple, 3 hours. It would actually blow your mind. Everything we see unfolding right now in society was thought about, conceived, and put into a plan 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
You got
to get to
or
but we've seen it ramp up. In the last 30 years, we've really seen the agenda ramp up, more so even in the last 10 years, more so since 9/11.
I hate to say this, but it is the information age that our enemy, the socialist, the New World Order, whatever label you want to put on it, the enemies of freedom, created this information network, this information society, and it's that free flow of information that has intensified and brightened the light of awareness among citizens.
Barry, you got a message in the, you got a message in the Scottish Sovereign said exactly, Barry, stop feeding the African folks by handouts, give them the resources in order so that they can turn the land into a viable place to self-sufficient.
So when we look at the criminality of everything that's going on our planet right now, it's just beyond anything that I can even begin to comprehend. We're killing the one thing that supports life, and that's this planet. So really, where is the sanity of these people? I mean, they want to bring, according to the Georgia Guidestones and their own agenda, they want to bring the world population down to 500 million people, which is, they call, a manageable figure. Well, that means 6.5 or 7.5 billion of us got to go. But really, when you look at it, what are they going to have when we leave? We look at what we're doing to the planet. I mean, unless these guys figure they're going to go live underground for the next 100 or 200 or 300 years, because it could be that long, even longer, before life will live on this planet again, we are killing ourselves. Nuclear power is one thing that I talk about all the time. Shazaris, I mean, the Earth was, I don't think the Earth ever in its geological history was exposed to the potential of nuclear power, what it could do to this planet. We've seen what Fukushima's doing. Well, boy, I'll tell you, if you want to add 30 or 40 or even 50 more meltdowns into that equation of the same potential that we're seeing from Fukushima, well, that's what we're working on right now. So really, what are we doing? We're the generation that can actually see life completely extinguished on the planet, like no life will live. Sure, the planet in millions of years has gone through extinction events, it's been hit by asteroids, it's been covered by ice, it's gone through heating states, it's gone through incredible changes. But life has always survived. One form of life has always survived. But we're now at a point now where we can completely extinguish the very smallest microorganisms of life on the planet.
Well,
is that the legacy we want to leave?
My frustration...
That drives me nuts, it is.
Yeah.
It does.
I get you.
We're shooting ourselves in the foot.
My personal frustration goes because I paid attention in science class, right? And I know that because we are standing here on a crossroads where we have the vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips. We have the solutions to resolve these problems. So my frustration comes from the fact that I see us going down this path. I know there's a solution to it. I can't shout it loud enough to enough people to get them motivated in order to try to take these tools that we've been given and clean this mess up before it's too late. You know, some people say it's already too late. I don't believe that. I know the science. I know the physics. I know the mechanics of how this world works. And if I could just get the right people to, you know, focus in on that. You know, I call it the dream team, you know, like in the alternative energy world. You know, there's solutions out there to where we can be so incredibly efficient and work in perfect harmony with nature, be clean, renewable energies. We have that technology. But the system that we've found ourselves under the gun of, they don't really want that. They talk about it, but they don't really want it. And proof positive is if you go back and look at the whole entire climate change / global warming, even the hole in the ozone layer, all that kind of stuff, the memes of reducing your carbon footprint, it gets the heartstrings of the environmentalist kid all excited about, yeah, we got to save the planet, but there's no actual solutions. And whenever you try to put the solutions on the table, they're the ones fighting the hardest and ignoring everything that you're pointing out that could be a viable solution to this. I actually went out of my way to get a hold of the governor of Florida because they were going through this whole red tide thing mixed with the green algae coming from Lake Okeechobee. I sent him a message and I explained in graphic detail cause, effect, how, and all the way down to an actual solution using materials that they already had that were native to the area. Do you know that I didn't get one single response from that individual about that deal? Nothing. It was a waste of my breath to try to say that. But the solution was there. You know, now they're going to build a retaining deal and hopefully use some of this knowledge to actually solve this problem. But there was a lot of fish dying off because of a problem that would have been slightly natural on one side, but aggravated by an unnatural runoff of chemicals and fertilizers coming from the farmer and the cattle. Cattle farmers.
So, I think Mike Chiturn has joined us here. Mike's a Canadian and great guy to talk to. So, welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, thanks, Barry. Sorry it took me so long to get in, but carry on. I'm just catching up on what you're even speaking about, but I'm catching the gist. But so I will tune in a sec. But just let me get into what you're talking about here.
Sure. Welcome to the show. Anyways, yeah, let's carry on there. Sure.
So essentially, what I'm saying is my entire frustration over this deal is because we got a lot of talented people in this world that have ideas and solutions, and we could actually do some positive to making the, to turning this ship around, so to speak. Obviously not an overnight kind of solution because it took a long time to get us in this mess. It's going to take even longer to get us out of this mess. But the same system that people seem to support and fight for is the same people that are causing the problems to begin with.
They're trying us.
So how do we fight against that, you know?
You stop supporting the enemy.
That's what I say.
You stop supporting the faction that is killing us. Corporations, every corporation on this planet should be in jail. Their CEOs should be in jail right now for damage to this planet, knowingly damaging our planet. That's an international crime, man. These guys should all be hung right now. Everybody involved. The heads of the nuclear power corporations, the people that brought these nuclear power plants to the planet, they should be in jail.
Insanity. Nuclear power is pure ridiculousness to begin with because that's like Stone Age technology now. We've got technologies that are so incredibly safe that would excel so far beyond nuclear power that wouldn't allow any wasted fuel. You know, they only use like 2% of those fuel rods before the rest of it is classified as depleted, and they got to put them in cooling ponds for 10 years. But for 10 years...
They make a weapon out of them and blow up somebody's land.
For 10 years, you got the equipment.
Depleted plutonium weapons. I mean, look at what they did over in Iraq, and oh my God.
Yeah, but
10,000 years before they can use the land. Go ahead.
The crazy thing about it is, 10 years... You got the equivalence of free energy setting in cooling pools, just quite literally going to waste. This latest video series that I put out about efficiency and how far we can actually push efficiency, we have the technical capabilities and the technology to quite literally make our energy uses so incredibly efficient by doing something that's unconventional. The conventional method by which we get our energy and all that is not only wasteful as far as wasting energy, super inefficient, and not to mention all the environmental damage done in the process. But like I said, the aggravation that I got is that we have answers on how to fix this, but to get that message up to the ones who actually have money and power in order to resolve it, If it ain't the average Joe gathering together doing it themselves, it'll never get done because corporations still want to sell their fuel. They still want to sell their electricity. They still want to sell their drugs, regardless of all the different possible alternatives in alternative medicine. That they're in it to make money. They don't want you to come out there with ideas, better ideas. And that's why I feel like we're suppressed and we have such a hard time getting anything done, and the whole world is going chaotic. They're buying into the propaganda, the bread and circus, the football game, the red and blue team, and they're forgetting about the message. Like what was his name earlier said about teaching people how to fish?
Can I intervene just a minute here? I'd just like to go back on what I've heard already. If I could,
yeah,
just
go ahead.
All right. So, to answer your question, you know, you hit it right on the head of the nail, and I guess you know, the reality setting in North America. And I mean, you know, North America as far as Mexico, the U.S. and Canada, having to defend the continent and trying to get people together on the same wavelength and the common goal, the one common goal. There's many things that have happened through our society that common goal is out of reach. So we have to change the goal. And I understand on it took us, you know, 100 years to get into this mess, that it's going to take us even longer to get out. I'm a person that really doesn't stick on words. A lot of words are brought out to the level that are too extreme and they don't really mean what the word means. In actual fact, if we really could come together on a common goal and we could look in correctly, instead of everyone wanting to be the hero and saving this world, and actually have a common goal and put commonality back in the word, so we can have unity and we can solve solutions, as because I'm a solution solver, as anybody on this tonight would say, as far as Duke or Barry, that I'm all about solutions, and there's always a common ground and we're going to hit it. Hitting it is the problem, because we've been weakened as a society. The U.S. and Canada, very weak societies. We're in strength, military. You know, we talk a mean storm, but we're really not there. We have threats around the world that are going on that are holding us at bay. And Trump's new government have a shockwave to the industry that's not allowing certain things to happen that a common ground around the world of government agree on. And a very select few disagree. Attacks on Western culture, many things going on. Volcanoes, faults, nuclear power, yes, all antiquated. Artificial intelligence and what they have out there today, nuclear is even antiquated. It's over. We don't need it. The people that's going around the drones on how it can take people out. It makes me think of things of where the UN is saying that we need to deplode, how the royals are saying we need to deplode in population. We need to do some things. We're in scary times of reality, and we can't be in denial. We talk about God, and we talk about all these things, and if we truly did agree, then Christianity wouldn't be divided as far as it's divided. And if we just put it in lieu of God and Jesus, then I guess that religion would see a better effect. Wars of religion. Religion always say they stay out of it, but this whole destruction is all about all of them. And I'm going to lay it on all of us. Atheists, Christians, Jews, Islamic, I don't care, Muslim, whatever you want to call it, Catholics, we need to set that aside. We need to get to the people of the core that understand reality. And when we preach reality, we always have the opposition. So we've got to find a better way of getting this resolved. And I think it's going to come down to the people, because here in Canada, with back when I did discussions live quite a bit, we spoke of the Canadian government being one of the most corrupt governments in the world, bar none. And truly they are, because they slid in the side. So we have a government race going on up here, and I'm going to do a big thing on it later on. I'm going to go live for a minute, which is really rare for me anymore. I don't do it because the conflict is too great, and we're still mad and conflicting instead of getting to solutions. So I agree with you. Yes, solution. What is the solution? And you're one of the first people that spoke the way with passion like you did, because I do too. And you and I would get along very well, because there is one. We just got to find a way to get it done. And that's been the difficult chore. So no matter what we put in sequence, if we yell, we scream, we be nice, we be cooperative, we go to each side, we talk to everybody, we can't seem to get it done. But we need to get it done. We've just grown into a complacent society. And too many people call too many things bullying.
Yep.
And it's out of control. I've said my piece on that. So I'll carry on if I answered some of those questions. But I do agree that we do have a very off-balanced society that's always become me, me, but we've more become I.
Well, I think that if some of these people who advocate for, like, the end of America or, you know, different changes that they want, if they finally get what it is that they're asking for, I don't honestly think that they're going to be happy, you know? Really.
Well, I see this. I see that, you know, we saw China We saw Russia. We saw Iran. Saudi. We saw Trump talk to those people, definitely including Japan. And many other countries that he's spoken with as far as Germany and what's going on. I found that very dangerous at the start. I'm a Trump guy, but I found it dangerous but bold. But we weren't quite secure in North America with South America crashing our borders now, and now that move, and throwing all the ones that we didn't see coming, but we kind of saw coming. Oh, he said Iran, Russia, and Duke likes to argue with me on this one, and we're great friends, but Russia and America are very divided in their political stand because of the context of where it's situated in the world.
Yeah.
So we have different conflicts, and Putin and Trump, you know, may work in sacrifice of each other to make a common mission, but I don't see them as allies or any of that stuff going on at any time soon. Canada does not talk with Russia because of our Ukraine, but we're going to go over that today. We're going to talk about Canada and where we sit against you guys with the U.S. as a very, very strong neighbor for many, many years and a very trusted one, and we need to get that relationship back. And we need to sell that to the people, and we need to get Mexico involved a little bit harder, which seems like Mexico is starting to see that. And Mexico's always been a part of us anyway. They might bitch about some shit, and we might... Oh, sorry, I guess the word there, I'm just air, but at the end of the day, you know, it's common ground where the world seems to be boxing off, and we've got troubles that lay ahead in nuclear and faults and volcanoes, and end of ice age, and we can go on, and it's there, and I see it, portals and gateways and interpretations of religion of Aztec and Mayans. We can go do all that, but we got to get on today and what's about to happen right tomorrow, and I don't mean in a decade from now tomorrow. I mean like next week tomorrow.
Yeah.
We all agree
with you, Mike, 100%, and we talked about that earlier in the show, that right now we're at a tipping point, and there is going to be some nefarious stuff come up, we all agree, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, so you're right, it's not a decade from now, it's in our face, and it is about to come down.
Well, you know what, I wish, I know it's as crazy as this might sound, I wish the four of us could actually be in one of those elitist-style meetings so that we could, instead of being a fly on the wall, be part of the conversation, because I'd love to set them straight about a few things.
We you know, listen, they're not in reality, we'd have a noose around our neck.
Well, probably so. We'd probably get shot before we got through the door, but...
That's okay, man. We would die for the cause.
Yeah,
I guess that's what probably makes change.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, my aggravation comes from the fact is I paid attention in science class, and whenever I saw that there was something wrong with science, I spoke out against it. I wasn't like just going to take and believe everything that I was told. I wanted to test. I wanted to repeat, I wanted to observe, I wanted to use the scientific method to try to figure out what makes everything tick. Well, now that I got all this knowledge in my head, and I see all these problems that people keep saying about, and I keep trying to address these problems with solutions to put them on the table in hopes that people will take these ideas and run with them and make our world a better place. I mean, for Pete's sake, we're sitting on a world that is 3/4 covered in water. And if people in this world can't get a fresh drink of water, we got issues. Because we have technology how to desalinize water. We have technologies how to purify and clean up water. We have all kinds of amazing technology. Go over there and check out the people in Dubai. They not only built the land that they're standing on from dredging sand up and compacting it and building islands, but they built huge skyscrapers on there. Huge desalination plants, and that is probably one of the most richest area that has beautiful buildings and all that kind of stuff. Now, I wouldn't build personally my house on sand, but they did it, and it works, and they're still living there. But that's just
and it's the most beautiful place you'll see in the world.
Yeah,
as you said, beautiful, fantastic.
So if there's a group of people that can do that over there, and they're not the only ones. Look at all the different people who you know, live in places where the water is the street instead of, because it used to be like some flooding went back and way back in history, and they started building their houses to float. You know, people live alongside the river. They got flooded out a lot, so they built their houses on pontoons. Their house, their garage, and everything important rises up with the water, and then it recedes back down with the water. And if they got to get out and go to work, they jump in their boat that's tied to the front porch and go to the shore. So, you know, there's ways around everything, even in the worst possible areas. I live in what they call Tornado Alley, you know. You can build structures that will withstand these high winds and rains and all that. We got all this knowledge, and yet we still building our house out of sticks. You see what I mean?
With a hammer and nail in some cases.
Yeah. So, when are we going to catch up?
You're right. And this is what's happened. As the world evolved around us, and in the Americas, we were very shut off to what was happening around the world as a general populace. I think that we really lost our way, and you know what? The empowerment of our stability with allies around the world was weakened, and we had governments that came in and weakened that attempt as far as, you know, our structures and who we help, and put us in positions where we needed to regain, and we were losing, we were losing the ability for hope in a place that was built on hope.
Yeah.
And prosperity, and we use that word too loosely as well. You know, prosperity turning to you have to be a millionaire when prosperity is, and I've said it many times this way, prosperity is taking care of your family and keeping clothes on your children's back.
Yeah.
And having a regular life where you don't have to worry so much, but you know, you still got to pay attention to how you conduct it. And we lost that. We lost our way. We're a weakened society that everyone wants to be right, and feminist movements, everything's to the extreme. Okay. The right, the left, movements and people and just no matter what it is,
but all
it's
that,
all extreme.
All that divide and conquer, it overshadows all the solutions available to resolve the problems that they're complaining about. That, you know, like I say all the time, I say it kind of in jest, but if you're standing there with a wooden stick and a paper sign saying save the trees, isn't that counterproductive?
Well, I mean, divide and conquer is so, I mean, look at the mechanism of division they brought into our society in the last 50 years. I mean, everything is designed to divide us so that we don't have the ability to stand together and fight the enemy.
Yeah.
And you combine that with the attack on our health. People are so sick that all they ever worry about now is getting sick.
Now, folks, as much as I like to keep this deal going, we're down to the wire. So this is the time, and everybody give some really careful thought to, if you had an idea, a solution, if you had some sort of resolution, what is the most, you know, I kind of go priority, you know, what's the biggest problem that we got to resolve, and what my idea would be to fix it. So, I want to
bring our people together as humans, that's the answer.
That's
if we can do that, we can conquer everything.
So,
pass it around the table. Let's everybody have a shot at this.
Yeah, I want to go around the table and let everybody have their last say before we get up out of here. So, think about, you know, if you had one opportunity to tell the world and they'd actually pay attention and listen to you, what would we do to fix this mess? So I'll let Mike go first because he's the newest one here. So what's your ideas there, Mike?
I just think the same thing as I just said. I think we need to get our people together, and we need to get a foundation in the world which still holds the populace no matter what culture. And we got to step on humanity. If we can step on humanity, we'll conquer the rest and we'll get the bad guys.
Cool. So, I forget your other friend's name there, Barry.
Duke.
Sorry about that. I got this memory issue. So, Duke, well, you got any words of wisdom to share?
Words of wisdom?
That's
from me?
That's kind of like asking Festus what Marshall Dillon's thinking.
remember, we love you, dude.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, I know, Mike, but you love Billy Goats, too. So.
I don't. No, I don't.
My solution is real simple, people. And it is the solution to pretty much every issue you're going to face in life. Peel away all the distractions, search for the basic truth of the issue, recognize it, accept it, and follow it. Practice it. That's it. If you can accept the fact that we are living in a world that is facing the epic battle between good and evil, that is the... You can sit here and scream about immigration pacts. You can scream about Democrat versus Republican and free trade versus communism versus capitalism. It all boils down to one simple thing. Like a banana, peel away all of the outside layers that are clouding the real issue, and we get down to the simple brass tacks. It is all about good, freedom versus evil, yeah. Oppression.
That's right.
It, ladies and gentlemen.
And the same people who supposedly your representatives are the ones who are profiting from all the divide and conquer. You know, it's not them that's sending their kids to war. It's your kids that are going to war. It's your kids that sacrifice it all. It's we the people that's doing this. We're the one bearing the burden and paying the price of war in every nation. We're the ones with our tax money and our blood, sweat, and tears that are funding, basically feeding the same beast that's eating us alive. It's about time to put that dang beast on a diet, as far as I'm concerned. So, with that said, Barry, you got any common sense or words of wisdom?
Yeah,
or
whatever? I could go on for an hour, but I won't. But
that's Mike Traherne's job.
When I come down to it, you know, if the human race incorporated one thought into their minds every day, is that, you know, people that live in a glass house shouldn't throw stones.
Amen.
And if we all incorporated that into our thought process in our daily lives, and if we also incorporate true love out of our heart for our fellow human beings, which I do, you know, I am a spiritual person. Earlier in my life, I could not stand up for what I honestly believe now in my life is real. So at this point in my life, I am leaving everything up to him. Okay, I'm just here observing the most incredible time in human history. We all know that there's incredible events to unfold in the human race, and we also know what Duke said is absolutely 100% spot on, that the devil is running wild on our planet right now. And it is up to you as an individual to decide what path you're going to follow. The path of the devil is wide, man. Millions and millions of people are going to suffer in the end. And that's all I can say about that. I honestly believe that. I have to leave my beliefs on what I read in my book, the timeline for things unfolding on our planet, how I see it all being played out right now, absolutely 100% spot on to me. Accurate beyond anything that I challenge anybody out there. Let me just finish my thought. I challenge anybody out there to prove what I'm saying is wrong, that this correlation of events that we see right now is right in our faces, and you cannot deny it, you cannot walk away from it, because if you do, the legacy you're leaving for your children, for the future of this planet, is one that I would say you should be ashamed of. It's our duty right now, as individuals, as humans, to stand up to what we see, because what's coming, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. Period. We have the power, guys, we have the solutions, but coming down to me is my spiritual connection, which is so real in my life right now. I won't get into telling you exactly what I feel, but I know that Jesus Christ has made incredible changes in my life, and that is something I cannot deny. So I'm following that line, man, and that's where I'm going. Everything else is going to pass.
Amen, amen, amen. Barry, amen.
I'm there with you, brother, amen.
Shaziz, if I can just close, I've got to actually scoot out of here in a couple of minutes, so it's good that your show is ending. I just want to close with one comment to every single person in every free society in the world that may be listening to this conversation now or in the future. Flanders Fields is filled with patriots from around the globe. They're laying in their graves weeping over what their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren have done with the gift that they gave them.
Yep, I see that, brother. I see that with everything I've got. With that said, folks, I believe that our Creator, my God, your God, however you think about it, look, I know we all come from different faiths, but we're all in the same exact boat. But I believe that we were all individually given a gift. It's my choice to use my gift to try to benefit the world in whatever ways that I can with all the knowledge that I've gathered. But I want to point you to a picture that's in on the Knights of the Round Table podcast, because the Knights of the Round Table is more than just an idea as far as I'm concerned. Let's talk about the Knights Code of Honor. It talks about let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, courage, and the love for one another be our guide. Grant us the wisdom to do what is right. That's the message that I feel like I got from my Lord and Savior. So, you know, I'm hoping that don't offend nobody. But, you know, this is the time right now where we got to do what we got to do to try to steer this world in a different direction other than where we're going. Because, like Barry said, you're the founding fathers, the mothers, the sisters, the brothers, aunts, uncles, and so on of your children and your children's children's future. And what we do today will definitely define the world that they live in tomorrow.
So, but we are the founders of the new battle.
That's it. And so we gotta use some wisdom right now. We're standing at a crossroads. We got a choice. We can take every bit of what we got right now here and squander it, or we can take every bit of what we got now and start working together and do what we should have been doing all along, being a good caretaker. You know, you are your brother's keeper. You help your brother out, and you make your brother strong so that your brother can do that for others, you know.
Love your neighbor, man.
That's it. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. The only thing I ask in return for this show, because, you know, I don't ask for donations on this show. I don't ask for any kind of financial support or anything that I'm not willing to give. What I'm asking for you is that if this message resonates in your heart, as true to the message that you want to pass on, you copy this podcast, you share it around, play it on your network, or just take the pieces out that you like and share that message with somebody in hopes to inspire them, be that positive pebble in the pond that'll send the ripples across, and maybe, just maybe, we'll see a miracle unfold before our very eyes. I honestly believe if you want to...
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise that our quiet on sing able. We're off from bad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone. No, we're Carp and Mabel,
I have to push the Pramalot.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazam the Terrible. All rise for King Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.